This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh yeah, it's the best show. What's up, guys?
Hey everyone, it's the best show. My name's Tom. I'm the host of the best show, and we have an exciting show for you tonight. We're going to have Joe Mandy swinging by to tell us about his new special, Joe Mandy's award-winning special. We're also going to talk to Cliff Nesteroff about his podcast and special on CNN. And then we will also be talking to you, the callers. And the number for that is 201-332-3484. That's the number if you want to call and talk to the best show. My name is Tom. I'm the host of The Best Show, and I look forward to your call. And the phone number is 201-332-3484 to call The Best Show. And that's the number to call the show, is 201-332-3484. If you want to call, call 201-332-3484 and join the best show conversation to talk about the best show and all things with the best show related as well. My name is Tom, and I tell you that this is not how I talk. Nah, it's not how I talk. I talk like this. Like a maniac. Like a dog. From the veritable streets. You can't pin me down. I talk like I got no proper upbringing. But trust me, I got manners. And you know what else I got? I got a big heart. And if you just don't like, what is the speech in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? I don't know. But I do know that the best show is here, and you are going to listen to it and love it, or you can get out! Because it's called the best show. It's called the best show for a reason. Sit back, relax. Best show time.
Show, and it'll always be the best show. I'll show number one, the best.
the best show. What's up?
Hey. Hey.
Hey, welcome back on this beautiful Tuesday evening in July of 2017. We are the best show, and we are here to bring you a fun time, just the way Grampy liked it when he listened to The Shadow. Remember when Grampy listened to The Shadow and Fibber McGee and Molly? This is funny that people's idea of Grampy changes now, where it's just kind of like,
yeah, remember when my Grampy used to see this band Blue Oyster Cult all the time? Like, it's just like, what?
I can't be Grampy. Time moves on, man. That's what that slowly becomes Grampy. Grampy becomes a guy who saw a winger in concert. Here's a picture of me and my Grampy. He was fourth row at a Thompson Twins concert. This is him meeting Joe Bailey from the Thompson Twins. Have they ever come back, Thompson Twins? I think they'd clean up. Thompson Twins came back, they'd clean up. How are they not in Ringo Starr's All-Star Band?
Peace and love.
Can't wait till they play. At this point, his All-Star Band consists of... He comes out with a boombox dancing around in his Sgt. Pepper outfit. And then there's a dunk tank in the parking lot.
If you want to take part in the Ringo Starr dunk tank, peace and love, 3 balls for $20. I will no longer drink dunk tank water for an additional $25. As of October 14th, I will no longer drink dunk tank water. Peace and love. If I get a mouthful of dunk tank water after October 14th, I will spit it out.
Dunk tanks. Why am I so fascinated with dunk tanks? Someday. Would you ever do a dunk tank, Mike? What am I fascinated with? Do I want to sit in a dunk tank, or do I want to knock someone into the water in a dunk tank? No, not for a good cause. Look, I'd sit on the ledge. I'd be in the thing for a good cause. I'll throw a baseball at anyone in a dunk tank for any reason. You ever see a thing like that on the boardwalk? You got someone in the dunk tank, and then there's always some kid who throws right at the cage. Like, they're not even trying to hit the target at all. They just want to spook the sap sitting on the dunk tank bench. It's always that metal.
Hey! Don't throw at the guy. Throw at the target.
And the guy in the dunk tank's always trying to, like, get the person to, like, lose their cool. You can't throw. Come on. You can do. Then they whip it. They miss the first two, and then they throw the third one right at the cage.
Get out of here.
I
Best Show Dunk Tank. Who from the show would go in the dunk tank? Mike? You'd go in? Yeah. Yeah. You.
Hey, what are you going to try to... You can't throw. Try to hit the thing you can't do. Your arm's like overcooked spaghetti.
Dudio? He'd do it. Pat? You know it. I love it. These three guys out there. You know what it's like? It's like the thing where you might as well say, if somebody says, like, would you eat that sandwich that a rat climbed over for $10,000? No. Would? You wouldn't? No, I wouldn't. How about for 50? No. How about for 200,000? No. I'll just say no to everything. They don't have that kind of money. Then you got standards.
So for $600 million, you wouldn't eat that?
No. They're not going to come up with the money to test it. You might as well at least have some personal dignity at some point in your life. Take a stand for something. Don't show everybody how low your price is. Look, my price is so low. You kidding? My price is low. I know that. I know it's low. Just give me this. That's all I ask. What did we hear? Oh, my goodness. We heard some good music from Nick Diamonds. You know him. My bro, Nick Thorburn, from Islands and from Unicorns and Mr. Robot? No, Mr. Lonely. That's his solo side band, Nick Diamonds. And the name of that song was The Sting from his album City of Quartz, which came out, I think, 2 years ago. What a great album that was. And it still is. On the Monkey Music label. So, Friday we did a special bonus best show. If you missed it, it's worth checking out. It's a good one. It's fun. And on that, we talked all about the bad roads, going down bad roads. And you go down them. You know you're going down them, but you go down them. I am a little parched. Mamacita, please, please bring me a beverage, please. Something cold, something cold. Yeah, something not with syrup in it. Not with syrup in it. Something like a Poland Spring, please. Please, please, I'm so thirsty. I'm so thirsty. Yeah, we'll check in the back. Come on. Tighten it up out there. I brought also that stuff. I went to Costco again. I bring all the stuff. I tell you, I gotta retool the baseline here. I gotta retool the baseline. These three out there, they look at these snacks. I got these healthy Pop-Tart type things, Annie's, organic pop, like, they don't call them Pop-Tarts, they call them like breakfast toaster treats or whatever. They're Pop-Tarts. So, where's this guy going for this drink? Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Watermelon. Interesting. So, I bring all these snacks in. And I hear Dudio say, and he doesn't know I heard this. He saw the Pop-Tart type things. He goes, oh, those will be good first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning? Well, you think I'm bankrolling your... No, you eat them here. These snacks that are here are to be eaten here. I don't want to catch... This is not a buffet where you're stuffing things in your coat pocket, wrapping in napkins at the buffet. I don't want to catch you guys doing that. I'm going to have to get one of those metal detectors. Those gateway ones. I got to start putting some detection strips in randomly in the snacks. So, yeah. I tell you, I got all the snacks. Got a bunch of Coors Light. I'll say this also. If you open a thing, you close it. That's all I'm saying. If I have these peanut butter filled pretzel pieces, every day the thing was open loose. Just close it. How hard is that, guys? These guys, I tell you. Big changes on the horizon. Big changes. Might be time for a shake-up. Like, remember when the Friends cast was renegotiating their deal? And then, like, they were a united front. And then the guy who did, Law and Order was like, it's like, what I would have done is fire one of them and scare the other ones into getting into line. So maybe I gotta hammer one of these clowns out there. Terrify the other two. I'll do the Law and Order move. It's also a fun attitude. Law and Order is making billions of dollars, and this guy's still like getting his jollies by like hammering people over little bits of money here and there. Dick Wolf. Yeah, Dick Wolf. Can you imagine? This ghoul with all his murder.
What if somebody gets crushed on an escalator? Let's do one about that.
Creepy. Hey, I worked on a murder show. I worked on one. A wacky detective show. I worked on one. I know what it's like. And these guys, but it wasn't gleeful.
What if we gotta take the thing in the car, two cars, crush the person in this?
Really? Not enough bad stuff in the world? Gotta get your jollies with the people getting their smushed. I don't get it. There might be no place for me in this world anymore. I'm starting to feel like that more and more. Boy, these will be good in the morning. That's my duty impression. It's like Joe Buck. Who's good here, Mike? Two. Best Show, hi.
Hi, Tom. It's the Food Hacker, Michelle from New Jersey. How are you?
Michelle. How are you? I want to say this, first of all, welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you.
You called on the bonus show that we did on Friday, and we talked about Oreo cookies.
We did.
Because you're a bit of an Oreo head.
Yeah. I'm glad you used my terminology, by the way.
Well, listen to this, Michelle. Do you hear this?
I'm listening.
Do you hear that?
Oh, is that I hear a crinkle.
Yeah, I got a bag.
Is that what I think it is?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different Oreo cookies I bought for the fine Best Show support staff.
No way. Well, check this out. Can you hear this?
Yeah, I can.
Guess what that is?
Hydrox.
You got it. I bought Hydrox to try them, and they were not easy to find. I had to order them online.
And have you had them?
I did. I just did a taste test a little bit before the show started. They just came today. Are you ready for the review? You want to jump right into it?
No, I'm ready for your Hydrox review. Let's hear it.
Oh, boy. Okay. Where do I begin? First of all, let's start with the packaging on these Hydrox.
So this is
cookies.
Not going to be a good review. I can, if I'm following the general tone here, oh, boy, where do I begin? Hydrox is about to take one on the nose.
Yeah, I really hope no representatives from Leaf Brands LLC are out there. They may have their feelings hurt. I will go easy. Okay, so the packaging, you know, it was easy to open, but I got to give props to Oreo. They have that great little tab lift that you can easily reach.
Oh, calm down. It's a cookie bag.
But, you know, I'm not eating these all in one sitting.
It's not an emergency exit on an airplane. That I would be concerned about efficiency of the door opening.
That's all right. I can see where the importance lies. But, okay, so the bag, that was obviously the first thing you open it up. Then I opened up the package, and maybe it was just a shipping issue. They were a little janky. They were a little crumbly, but I did pick one out, and I first bit the whole sandwich cookie. And at first bite, I knew in my heart that if I was given a blind taste test, I would immediately know that these were not Oreos.
Mm-hmm.
Then I took the cookie apart, you know, as you would normally do, and I just took a bite of the cookie, and I wouldn't exactly say it's tangy, but you could definitely taste that unsweetened cocoa. That's very pronounced in the cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you try the cream. The cream wasn't that bad, actually.
You were able to choke it down?
I was able to get it down. The cream was, as I was saying, was pretty good. I would give the cream like a 4, actually, out of 5. And then I immediately thought of an Oreo hack. I think we were talking last week about combining the Hydrox with the Oreo. I would actually take the Hydrox cream, but like put it on an Oreo cookie. I think that would be good. So overall, the Hydrox, you know, I'm not too disappointed that they're not easy to find in my area.
Uh-huh.
They get like, and I'm going to be generous here, they get a 3 out of 5.
But that's a very soft three.
A very soft 3. I did eat like 2 more after that because, you know, you taste one, but then you gotta go back and be like, let me give this another shot. But
they're not
bad.
Yeah,
I would
give
it a soft 3.
Hydrox are fun. They're nice cookies.
I feel bad for them. I just read a sad article about them. They just have a really sad history. So my heart does go out to the company a little bit.
How do they have a sad history?
They're just always getting sidelined. Like, they started off with a name, and like in 1908, right, or whatever it was. First of all, their name, there was another company that actually made chemicals that was called, like, Hydrox Chemical Company. They were, it was getting confused with chemicals, and they were, like, the first kosher cookie out there when Oreo came around, and people just ignored them. They just went straight for the Oreos, but they were there first. I do feel bad for them.
Do you remember, and it's a horrible thing, do you remember there was like that weight loss like it was like a candy bar kind of thing called AIDS, AYDS, back in the 70s, and then they went out of business, obviously, because it's like the disease showed up. It's like, it's insane how chemicals, and like, sometimes a company just gets it, and it's like they get hammered, and there's no coming back from that.
I'm looking these up now. This is sad. I mean, I do see the spelling difference, but you also don't want somebody going around saying that they bought AIDS at the store, so.
Well, it's just, yeah, it's, look.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and you're cooked And there's no coming back from that. So, look, Hydrox is a different level. But nobody wants to hear a thing be compared to chemicals. This is what I'm going to do.
It's just ironic because Oreos are chemicals, but, I mean, we all buy them anyway, you know? And we're well aware of this fact. But Oreos are good. That's the difference.
Well, Michelle, this is what I'm going to say. I got 5 different Oreos here. Later in the show, I'm going to give these fellas blind taste test. We'll see if they can guess the flavor. What do you think?
Oh, okay. I was going to ask what flavors you bought, but I don't want to spoil anything.
I don't want to reveal it. I don't want to reveal it. You know what I should do? I should rub one of them on the bottom of my shoe. Right?
You should do that. I bet it'll taste really good.
Right? Or I should put just like some, like, I should put something in the middle of it and feed it to
If you have some dirt on your shoe, you could just say it was like chocolate chips or something in the cream.
I might put like some, there's like a, you know, there's like some, a lot of dust around here. I might put some dust.
I think that would be noticeable. But also, on the topic of bad roads, I came to a realization today that I am on a bad road. I had a kind of a slow morning at work, and I was kind of like compiling all of the Oreo flavors I've tried. I've tried 40 different types of Oreos, and I feel like this is just a cry for help at this point.
Or you're close to completing the mission.
That's also a very good way to look at it. I'm not sure where the mission ends, though. They never stop making Oreos.
Well, you never stop rooting for a sports team.
That's true.
That's your team. That's your team, Michelle. You're on Team Oreo.
You know, you're enabling me, but in the best way possible.
As long as you take care of what actually matters and don't suddenly start being like, yeah, I couldn't pick you up from the nursing home. I heard a rumor that they were going to have some key lime pie Oreo shipment showing up, and then you're like ignoring things that matter in life. As long as you're not doing that.
And also, I would never ditch somebody at a nursing home for key lime pie Oreos of all flavors. I mean, Oreos, maybe, but but no, I wouldn't do that. You're right. You're right. I'm stronger than that.
Yeah. As long as your love of Oreos is in check, you'll be okay.
I think I'm there. I think I'm still okay.
Well, Michelle, you know this. You have rocketed to the tippy top of my favorite caller list.
Wow.
So quickly. Will it last forever? I don't know. Will you be, maybe you're launching a calling career that will be like you'll be like an all-time great who just keeps going and going. Maybe you'll be more like Cisco or something like that. You know, you have a one-hit wonder, Don McLean.
That's true.
Okay.
I don't know what the future holds for me. I know that I will call back next time I try a new Oreo.
I can't.
Or any other fun snack.
Now, is there a word, is the community a buzz about any new Oreo rumored flavors?
So, I think they're coming out with apple pie flavored. I'm really not sure if it's just a rumor or not. I feel like it's very plausible.
That doesn't sound
so
very...
I'll look
very
for that. Great. Soon in the coming weeks. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Great. I look forward to hearing more about these Oreos, and later in the show we're going to have a Oreo taste test.
I'm very excited about that.
All right, you have a great night.
You too.
Night. Bye. I'm being told to go to the hotline. I'm being told that a hyphenate is on the hotline here. A hyphenate, a author slash documentarian slash podcaster slash television host is on the hotline. Is this Cliff?
You said hyphenate, but then you described me with a bunch of slashes.
All right.
I think your punctuation is wrong.
Cliff Nestor. I'm not smart. Cliff Nesteroff. What's up, buddy?
Not too much. You know, people think I'm smart, and it's the most miraculous thing. I think it's just because I wear glasses and somehow wrote a book. But the jig is going to be up any day. I don't know how how people who are smart fake it for so long. It's tough.
Yeah, is it tough, though? I think if you just, look, you're smart. Look, maybe you're not going to give,
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
The what's his face? Stephen Hawking a run for his money, but I think if you talk about things that are interesting, people are just like, "Oh, I think you're smart because you're talking about things I don't know about."
Well, people assumed I was smart until they started to meet me and hear me. I had a book, as you may recall, come out not that long ago called The Comedians, Drunks, Thieves, Scoundrels, and the History of American Comedy. And I did a audiobook for the book. And I did not know this, but according to the Audible reviews, I am pronouncing all words wrong. I had no idea. And in those reviews, they don't tell you which words I'm pronouncing wrong. They just complain about it. So I think they're probably correct. I probably am saying words wrong because I'm a dumb, uneducated guy lucky enough to write a book. Usually educated guys write a book and they pronounce things and write things correctly. But I don't really know words, you know?
You're doing all right, Cliff.
All right.
Look at
I
you.
Appreciate it.
Look at you. You got your book. This book is going to, this Comedians is going to, it's an evergreen. This is not some book that they're pulping already because it ran its course. This is something they'll be printing this till the end of time, your book.
Well, they'll either be printing it till the end of the time or till the end of 2020, I think. Because I really believe I had this sort of epiphany this week that we're in 2017, we're in the heat of this comedy boom right now. Mm-hmm. And when I got the contract to write my book, it was after I did Marc Maron's show in 2011, which I think is probably like 1981 in comedy boom terms. So right now, I think we're in 1987 in comedy boom terms, and I may be, this might be too self-serving, but I'm sort of like Yakov Smirnov. I'm a comedy historian who makes a great living. So I don't think that's going to last beyond 2020, which probably is, the analogy would be 1990, you know, the end of the comedy boom.
Look, if you want to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, that's your call. That's your prerogative. You're doing great. You got a book, you got a TV show, you got a podcast.
You're right.
You got everything. How many TV shows do you have? Two?
I have two TV shows. I don't know if you recall, but 2 or 3 weeks ago you had a caller thrown into your show, a fellow named Matthew Tompkins from the Shout Network. Do you remember this?
I do remember that.
Very powerful man here in Hollywood, where we live, both he and I. And so I met with him for lunch, and he said, you know, I think we could make beautiful music together, was the phrase he used. Have you ever heard this phrase? It's a showbiz term, beautiful music. It doesn't actually mean music. It means something else. But you follow me, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. So
he said that if there's one thing in this world today that people demand and that they're hungry for, it's for another TV show about the inside workings of stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. And I said, by crikey, Matthew Tompkins from Shout Network, you're right.
Because you got this thing, what is it, CNN?
Yes, I'm the consulting producer for a show called The History of Comedy, which is on Sunday nights on CNN at 10 p.m. And then I'm hosting a TV show for Viceland called Funny How, which they're showing a marathon of Sunday the 30th. 5 episodes in a row.
Now, what is Funny How about Cliff Nesterov?
Funny How is a show on Viceland. They actually, it was an interesting germination because they had called me and had interviewed me for some special about comedy, and it was directed by this fella. And then it was not supposed to have a host. It was just supposed to be a talking head documentary. But whoever directed the thing inserted himself into the show, and then the director became the host, and he delivered it to Viceland, and they said, whoa, 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 why is the director on camera? So they fired the guy. And then they contacted me a month later, and they said, you know, the show's not supposed to have a host, but we liked what you said on camera when you were being interviewed. Do you want to host a TV show? And I said, I don't know, man. That sounds like a lot of work. Can you ensure to me that it is not going to be any work? Like, I can just talk to the camera. I don't have to memorize things. I don't have to write things. They said, no, you can just host this show. So it's sort of like, to use a very pretentious analogy, it's sort of like an Anthony Bourdain, but stand-up, where we traveled around and we had thematic episodes. Everybody can see this on July 30th. The one episode was me exploring the subculture of Christian stand-up comedians, guys who do stand-up comedy, but only in churches for Christian audiences. So that's one of the episodes where we figure, we're exploring what that's all about and figure it out, you know?
All right. That sounds interesting. And I guess my phone has not rung yet but I guess that's just.
I hope I don't get in trouble by saying this, but I kind of feel like this show is beneath you.
No, it might be, but it would be nice to turn you down at least. I'd like to at least just go, oh, I wish I could. Oh,
well, somebody
Cliff,
did,
I want
somebody
to do it so badly. I just. I can't.
Somebody did turn us down. Again, it's a tale out of school, but we did an episode about comedians on their way up and comedians on their way down. Mm-hmm. And so the comedian on their way up was this comedian who was like auditioning and getting ready for her first late night television appearance to do stand up and stuff. And then the comedian on their way down was Michael Winslow.
Uh-huh.
You know Michael Winslow?
Oh, yeah, the Police Academy sound effect guy.
Exactly. And some people ask me, why are you profiling Michael Winslow, the sound effects guy from Police Academy? And this is true. The reason is because Sinbad turned us down. So at least one person turned us down.
But Sinbad's not on the way down. He's surviving.
He's on the rebound. He's actually on the rebound. Yeah. Maybe that's what he said. I didn't book the show. But he may have said, you know, I'm not on my way down. Although I don't think would have ever approached anybody with that language. But
yeah, God forbid you get that call. Yeah. Hey, we're doing a thing, comedian on the way up, comedian on the way down. Oh, which one am I now? Oh, yeah. When does this film? Please tell me more. You're supposed to, ooh, you got my attention.
Have you ever read those books? They're from the 70s or 80s by a guy named Richard Lamparsky, and they're called Whatever Became Of.
No, I know the books that you're talking of, but
yeah, like he'd interview like the Little Rascals when they're all old and stuff, and he'd interview them, take a photo of them when they're old, these sort of faded movie stars, and then give you a little profile on them. But there was always an undercurrent of information in there that you could read between the lines, where you're sure Richard Lamparsky said something offensive to the person, but he doesn't say that in the article. You just get the sort of reaction where he'll write this profile of Dorothy L'Amour or somebody like that, and at the end of it he'll say, she greatly resents being called a has-been. And that'll be the end of the profile. Yeah, well, so I guess you're right. Sort
anybody,
of like that.
Anybody would. Who would be like, oh, I'm okay with that. I'm a has-been.
I'd be okay with it because I'm looking
but
forward
you're
to 2021.
Not. Look.
2021.
I look at your thing. All I say is that Cliff Nesteroff must have gotten bitten by a radioactive Jonah Ray with the amount of TV shows this guy has. Because he gave you the thing. Jonah has 60 shows. He got bit by Chris Hardwick.
Right.
Who has 100 shows. Jonah has 60, and you've got three now. You got a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not me,
well,
man.
That's called a comedy boom, Tom. It's called a comedy boom.
So, Cliff, I'm not going to indulge your paranoid fantasies of your own collapse. So, funny how. You got that. That's on Viceland. You got the history of comedy on CNN.
Yeah.
And then what is this podcast now? What is this podcast called?
So when I wrote my book, I interviewed hundreds of comedians, many of whom were elderly, many of whom were angry, many of whom were fascinating, guys like Jack Carter and Shecky Green, the Professor Irwin Corey. And Mark Maron always had this idea years ago. He said, you should do a podcast that's like old comedians, old showbiz stories, sort of based on the type of articles I used to write in the old days at WFMU. So I thought, well, sure, that sounds like a fun idea. So this podcast is a mini-series, for one, because it's so much work. If there's one thing I hate, it's work. And so the podcast is only four episodes for now, with another four probably to come sometime in the future.
And who have but you talked to on this one yet?
Well, I used what I already had on this external hard drive from when I did my book, because a lot of these guys have since passed away.
Yes.
So
Jack Carter is no longer with
us. Exactly. And the professor of inquiry, I think, died at the age of 102, you know. So I was very fortunate to get these guys on the phone and to record them. But the first episode is about comedians and the mafia, about how in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, if you did stand-up comedy, nine times out of ten, you were working for the mob. So we tell the story of this guy named Alan Drake, who was kind of forgotten. But in the 40s, he was a funny cab driver who became friendly with a mobster who ran clubs in Miami Beach and told him, hey, you should try to do stand-up, and if you do it, you know, I can get you good gigs. So he wasn't even that good, but because of this mobster's connections, he was able to put him on a circuit. He started touring. He started opening for Tony Martin, the singer, played the Copacabana in New York, the Chez Paris in Chicago, and had this great budding career, played the Flamingo in Las Vegas. After about a year of this comedian, Alan Drake, being on the road, this mobster who hooked him up started to seduce his wife while the comedian was on the road. Oh. And they started seeing each other for about a year.
No.
Now, meanwhile, the head of the mob family that this little mobster worked for had a mob war between Frank Costello and Vito Genovese, who were two of the big members of a New York family in the late 50s, mob family. And they had a feud about who was going to be in charge of the mob family. And so the low-level mobsters had to choose a side. And anybody that chose the wrong side, if that wasn't the person who remained as the head of the family, they were expended. And any of those who pledged allegiance to the correct mobster who succeeded, they still had you know, good standing and a job. So this little mobster, his name was Little Augie, he pledged allegiance to the wrong mobster. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, when the other mobster became in charge, he was persona non grata. He was out on a date one night with the comedian's wife and was murdered in cold blood. And when that happened, the comedian not only lost his wife, but he lost his benefactor, and his career ended in its tracks. So the first podcast is about that, and I talked to a lot of comedians who knew this guy, Alan Drake, and knew about what happened to him after that. Red Fox kind of took him under his wing, put him in Sanford and Son a couple times, but actually put him on his payroll as his official cocaine dealer.
I always love the episodes. I love the episodes of Sanford and Son when Red Fox was clearly so bored with the show that he would play himself every once in a while. Like, oh, it's a taping of a TV show starring Red Fox, and then Fred Sanford would go to it so that Red Fox half the time didn't have to change into the overalls and got to just wear what he liked to wear and look nice the way he liked to look.
Yeah, Sanford and Son is a fascinating show to watch when you have context for the history, because there's a lot of actors in it who are doing their television debuts at the age of 60 or 70, and almost all of them are guys that Red Fox met on the Chitlin circuit back in the 1940s. And there's a really, I don't know what the rest of the episode is about, but there's one episode where he and Scatman Crothers sit together on the sofa in the Sanford and Son living room and do like a song together that's really charming and clearly something that they had done in the past, like years and years earlier. So for that reason, it's sort of fascinating. Every now and then you see Sammy Shore in an episode of Sanford and Son, and you can kind of tell, well, I can tell anyways because I studied all these old comedians, who is just Red Fox's friend who just gets thrown into the show out of context altogether. But for me, that's what makes it worth watching.
I could use a friend like that. I thought I was supposed to be in this Ant-Man movie. Ant-Man. Uh-huh. I was in it. I hit the cutting room floor on that thing so fast. It's still your shockwaves coming from how fast my footage hit the floor.
Do you know who Gary Mule Deer is?
Yes, he was a comedian who he actually is. I hear him more as a reference point for a lot of like for the Who would always use him as a reference point? I feel like it's some sort of like Chris Elliott, David Letterman type thing where he embodied a certain kind of comedian.
Yeah. Well, Letterman and him were very close, and it's because they both were at the Comedy Store right at the beginning, 1975, they met. And so Gary Mule Deer was one of those guys from the 70s Comedy Store era. Although when all those other guys of that era who didn't get like a talk show kind of fell by the wayside, Gary Muldeer continued to do the road for 30 years, opening for people like Tony Orlando and stuff like that, mm-hmm. playing casinos. And when I interviewed him, I said, boy, you must just love to do stand-up because all your contemporaries have kind of retired and you're still going. And he goes, no, Cliff, I don't love it. It's just that after the 80s, when all of my friends went into rehab and cleaned up, I didn't. So I had to sustain my cocaine habit and go on the road to make money. But the reason I bring up Gary Muldeer is because he's on the cutting room floor on what are probably the three biggest comedy films of the 1970s. He got cut out of Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke. Mm-hmm. He got cut out of Annie Hall, and he got cut out of The Jerk, starring Steve Martin.
Wow. Wow, that's kind of an accomplishment in a way to get cast for that many things, but that's the luck of the draw, man. 0 for 3.
0 for 3. Three of the probably are the three biggest comedy films of that era. I can't think of what else.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you have a Mel Brooks movie, maybe, but in terms of those are as three as big as anything that came out of the 70s. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Cliff, I think you're doing great. I think you're doing great. Are you going to do another book? Is another book in the cards?
Yes, there is. My publisher turned down my proposal. I wanted to do a version of The Comedians. About LSD and acid heads, sort of the history of LSD in popular culture in a way that hasn't really been written yet. Mm-hmm. Because I'm always fascinated by certain things. Even there've been many books about comedy, obviously, before I'd written mine, but I would always find stories that had not been covered in other books, just like that mobster story I just told. And mm-hmm. So with the LSD book that I had planned, I kind of wanted to do that. I discovered that Warren Oates, Michael J. Pollard, and Harry Dean Stanton used to do LSD together in the early 70s. I found that quite fascinating.
Wow.
Art Clokey.
Boy, that must have been That must have been a fun time. Sit there, dropping acid. You look across, Harry Dean Stanton staring at you. You turn your head the other way, Warren Oates is staring at you. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
My God, you jump out a window with that. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, don't worry. It's the guy from Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia. He's sitting there, sweating in the corner. So that didn't happen. So that book didn't happen. That one didn't happen.
Yeah, that was one I was planning for, but I might do it in, 10 years. It's not the book they want because there's a comedy boom happening, and I wrote mm-hmm. a book about comedy, and it mm-hmm. did very well. So because my publisher is logical, unlike me, mm-hmm. They're like, we want another book about comedy.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, I already wrote it, I don't know if I want to write another book about comedy.
You want to write a book about comedy, you write a book, what? There's so many stories you can do. You could go deeper into any of those sections that you went into. You covered 100 years in your first book.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Well, they kind of want me to do a contemporary take. My big aversion is that when I read mm-hmm. stuff about comedians or comedy, whether it's on the internet or somebody else writes a book, I never like it. I always dislike it. So I don't want to be the very thing that I dislike,
Wow.
Because I feel like it doesn't require that much scholarship or study, really. Nice. But they want a more contemporary take, so I'm flying out at 7 in the morning tomorrow to go to Just for Laughs, and I'm going to start scribbling notes. Because show business, at the very least, is full of lunatics, comedy or otherwise, and I encounter a lot of those lunatics. So I might mm-hmm. just start taking notes about the horrendous things that I hear when I take a Hollywood meeting, things that if I had my voice memo recording could destroy somebody's career, that kind of thing.
Look, maybe that might get you hurt. Sounds a little risky. Why don't you just write a nice book about Pete Holmes? You can't just write a nice book about Pete Holmes? Make everyone happy?
Some affirmations by Pete Holmes?
Yeah, some fun affirmations.
Sort of like a Stuart Smalley?
yes. Oh, boy, I'm not touching that. Hey, Cliff Nesteroff, you have so many things going on. I'm so glad we got to catch up on stuff. I want to talk. Can you call in a few weeks or whatever? I'd like to keep talking. I'd rather talk to you more frequently. Call soon.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you just call anytime you want?
I would like that. I like that. Yeah, that would be very, very nice.
And people can catch.
I'm isolated here in Hollywood, you know.
What is it? Classic Showbiz? What is your?
On Twitter, Classic Showbiz. Yeah, I can't tell if I'm a good tweeter or the.
Oh, you're
one of the
really
more obnoxious.
You put, no, you're great. You're the pictures you put up are spectacular.
Oh, thank you. I go on a tweet storm. People think I'm on medic. Not, but sometimes I'll just tweet 40 things in a row that are just images of, guys in plaid jackets from the 70s. And I'm not sure how I don't lose all followers when I do that. But
you're doing great.
It's nice to hear that some people appreciate it.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Okay. Thanks. You take care. Cliff Nesteroff. Yeah, that. Nope. No, that should not have. Well, I guess I'll be on the phone with Verizon for another half hour tomorrow. Thanks. We're getting the caller call waiting off. Verizon, great job. Oh, don't worry, it's off. Is it? It clearly isn't. It clearly isn't. I want to tell you all about a Kickstarter campaign that's coming to an end tomorrow, I believe. My friends Rob Hatchmiller and Paloma Basu have their Kickstarter for their movie. Other Music, the story of an iconic independent record store. Their last movie was great. This movie's going to be great. I think there's only 29 hours to go, and they're not at their goal yet. Now's the time to help them out. You go to Kickstarter.com, search Other Music, check it out. They got all sorts of things up there for all different contribution levels. Yeah, it's great. This movie's going to be good. So go over to Kickstarter.com, search Other Music, check it out, watch the trailer. And get on board. Help them hit their goal. 29 hours to go. Best show.
Hey, Tom. It's Mark out in Lake Newbridge. How's it going?
It's, hold on a second there. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I thought you were going to say, oh, hi, Mark.
Oh.
You know, with the country in the grips of the room mania, right?
Yeah, mania might be a little little extreme. I guess because there's a movie coming out that's the one that What's-His-Face made, right?
James Franco.
Yes. Based on the book that
The Disaster Artist.
That fella who was in the movie wrote.
That's right.
Yeah.
I like the book. Did you read it?
I did not read the book yet.
Fun.
Everybody loves it. It's one of those things where, you know, when you just have so many books and you just, it's like, I'm never going to read all these books, but I want
all right,
to.
What are you reading right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
What am I reading right now? I'm reading the Questlove book.
Ooh.
Mo Meta Blues. I don't know that one.
I like music books.
I do, and it's interesting because he's talking about the journey through a career in a hip-hop group, which is, there are few of them.
Right.
And so it's interesting to see someone talk about always being kind of the bridesmaid, but never the bride.
Right.
If you know, because they would watch other people zoom past them in terms
right.
of with popular. So it's a good book.
I'm reading a book about a guy in a band.
You're reading a book about a guy in a band?
Yeah, it's called Tales of a Rat, and rat is spelled R-A-T-T.
Now, what band could that possibly be?
Well, the author is a guy named Robert Blotzer. I don't know if you've heard of him or not.
It sounds like an anchor man.
It does, right? Robert Blotzer with the, your 10 at 10.
Yes, or even just like.
10 on the 10.
I was thinking he'd be more out in the field, maybe even just the idea like, this is Robert Blotzer checking in from the Gaza Strip.
That's right, Jim. Things are tough out here. Yeah. Really dusty.
Yeah.
Here so, on the Strip. But, I've never been to the Gaza Strip. I don't know what it's like, really.
Yeah, I guess it would be
dusty.
I would assume it would be there'd be some kind of dust.
I mean, it's hot here now. Can you imagine what it's like on wherever it is?
Yeah,
hot as bees.
It is hot. Is it hot enough for you? Do you like when someone says that to you?
I do, because it's usually too hot, and then you know I want to say it's hot as bees, but you know I can't really say that.
No, because but they would kind of they shouldn't ask. Is it hot enough for you? Unless they want any answer, they should be ready for any answer they get.
No, I want it hotter.
Yeah, no, I want it hotter. I want to see the streets bubble.
Yes,
that's how hot I want it.
Barring that, take me to your house, turn on the oven to broil, and pull the door open, and I'll just stand there in front of it.
Yeah, so that's how hot you want it.
I do want it that hot, yeah. Hey, speaking of hot stuff, you go to Comic-Con?
No, I did not go to Comic-Con.
Rats. I was hoping you could tell me if this Reggae Man movie is going to be any good.
The what movie? Reggae Man?
Reggae Man, yeah. You ever heard about this?
Uh-uh. What is Reggae Man?
Oh, my God. Well, back in the early 80s, there were several different music-based superheroes. Very short-lived. DC had Punk Boy, Image had New Romantic Girl, and Marvel had Reggae Man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I don't know about any of these.
And what he would do, he'd blast villains with these dub tornadoes that he'd shoot from his portable sound system that was kind of strapped to his back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Like super low end.
Oh, so, sort of like the Sound Clash thing.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Anyway, they made a movie out of it, and Tim Burton has directed this thing, apparently.
Oh, That is...
Yeah.
Well, who was playing Reggae Man?
Johnny Depp. And from what I've heard, it's the most phoned-in thing he's ever done.
Wow. I don't know how it could get more phoned in with him, but how is this more phoned in?
Well, he apparently like had it written in and made it so that he's carrying a copy of Black Uhuru's Guess Who's Coming to Dinner album, like an LP, and he's got it in every scene. So he's just kind of holding it in front of his face in every scene, and it's so clear that he's reading his lines off the back of the album.
So he's acting from behind an album cover.
Yes, yeah. You can see his eyes, and half the time you can see like the top of his mouth, but he's definitely reading that thing. I guess he doesn't want to wear glasses, so he can't see it that well. So it's pretty, you know, it's something.
Yeah, that is a new low for a guy who seems to have been kind of hovering toward the bottom for a while.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. And from what I hear, he sounds more like he's from Kingston, New Hampshire than Kingston, Jamaica in this thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's amazing how tired I am of just, like, there was a point where it'd be like, oh, it's Johnny Depp, and now it's just like, oh, it's Johnny Depp. Like it just seems like, I don't really want to see the costume he puts together and then whatever voice he's doing for
it's like a Keith Richards sort of thing. It's not really reggae, you know what I mean? He's like just sort of furthering that, and apparently from what I heard, the vibe as you watch him, it's like you can actually feel him thinking about what he's going to spend the money he's making on this film on.
Yeah, he bought
like
a lot
guitars of guitars and things.
The thing I never understood with this is, like, the guy only needs one guitar at a time. Like...
I know.
Like, and it's also just, like, a guy like that where he's just like, I need 100 guitars. It's like, wait, what's the album you're making that we're missing out on? Why you need different textures for everything? It's like...
Well, I assume he's a session guitarist. Is he?
He played... Didn't he play on one Oasis song?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I figured he was like up there with Steve Lukather or something, the way these people are all hiring him to do things. I don't know. It's like they just, I do not know.
They just like the idea that the guy from the movie's there, and then suddenly it's like, oh, he's playing guitar. I guess he really wants. He shows up with a guitar case.
Yeah.
And then you're like,
I'm making this record, and I gotta let's get that actor to play the guitar on this thing.
Yeah, because there's no other guitarists around.
No.
Who might be looking for the work.
No. Hey, speaking of filmed entertainment,
mm-hmm.
What is the name of this new Netflix show that's not about stand-up comedy?
All right. I mean, come on. I got to say, I've had enough of callers calling up and always busting on how everything is about stand-up comedy. And, I mean, look, there's a lot of stuff about it, but there's plenty of shows on Netflix that are not about stand-up comedy. I mean, it's just, there's so many, like, well, there's one that's, I actually can't think of any that aren't, yeah.
Right?
I think you're right. Wait, no. There's that documentary series, Inside the Mind of a Serial Killer.
No, I've seen it. And Claire O'Kane does these riffs in between the comments from the two psychologists. Very funny, very, very dark stuff.
Okay. Well, I didn't know she was on the serial killer show, Inside the Mind of the Serial Killer.
Real wild, dark stuff. Yeah, that was the original thing that Carson said. It wasn't weird, wild stuff. It was weird, real weird, wild, dark stuff. Because he was into like serial killer humor.
Carson?
Oh yeah.
What do you mean? Like all this? Like, did he collect the stuff also?
Oh yeah, yeah. He was into this collecting painting stuff. You know, before anyone. Dean Gacy.
Yeah.
Sick stuff.
I've heard there's a Ed Gein painting that I'd like to get my hands on. spare no expense. Like telling his, what if you made Ed McMahon?
Yeah.
What if you made Ed McMahon go to like bid on paintings at like a serial killer painting auction?
Do him telling Ed to get it and to make sure he outbids Heston.
Ed, thing I need you to do is, in downtown Los Angeles, there's going to be an auction of John Wayne Gacy paintings, and there's a series he did of these Pogo the Clown paintings. I want all of them.
That is, yes, I will get the paintings for you, oh great one.
And do not let Heston outbid you.
Don't let Chuck.
Don't let Chuck outbid you.
Now do Leno doing it and have it be, he wants to outbid, I don't know, Damon Wayans.
Does anybody hear that, there's going to be a John Wayne Gacy auction going on, and I know Damon Wayans is big collector of serial killer art, and
I'm not going to let him outbid me this time.
I love it. I could listen to it all night.
Oh, you might be the only one.
No, I'm into it. It's great. Hey, I want to hold you up. Final question, I promise, okay?
Okay.
Why don't you ever use stingers?
What? I'm sorry?
Like, at least when a new guest comes on, something like that.
Stingers?
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean by stinger.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm totally serious.
Oh, like a stinger is like a bell or a beep or something that signals a new segment or topic at the top of the podcast.
Okay. I don't know. You know, we generally just keep the show kind of loose and free-flowing, and it's not really about just segment.
Right. All right. Well, what do you use to generate ID3s before you upload the show to the main?
I have no idea. I don't know. Do you... Hey, Mike, an ID3? What's that? Do you know what that is? Can you ask out there? No, they don't know either. No, nobody here actually knows what an ID... What is an ID3?
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh, well, an ID3 is a... metadata spec that allows information to be added to files like a track title or artist name or album or track number, anything that's useful info that could be helpful to your listeners, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
All right, have you ever considered using a bigger chiclet?
Chick? You mean like chewing gum? Chiclet?
You're funny. Come on, seriously.
What? No. I mean, that's like chiclets are those little... I didn't even know they still made chiclets. I think Cadbury used to make them, right? Is that...
You aren't joking, are you?
I have no idea what you're talking about. No, oh. I'm not joking.
Well, a chiclet is... It's like a slang term for this, it's usually an orange button that's used to, link RSS files. Yours is actually white on the top of your page. And, what it does, like, podcatchers allow a user to drag and drop chiclets directly onto them to easily add a subscription. It's that sort of thing.
All right, well, I gotta say, I don't know anything about any of this stuff, Mark.
I'll tell you something. Looks like somebody needs to attend my camp.
Your camp?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, Cast Campapod.
What is Cast Campapod?
It's only America's number one podcast camp. Why?
A podcast? What is a podcast camp?
Well, I'll nutshell it for you. Basically, it's where people of all ages come to learn the ins and outs of podcasting, and it's very intensive, real. It's hard studying, but we do have time, for roasting marshmallows and stuff and chasing deer around,
like usual camp.
Exactly.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah, but like I said, it's very intensive, and I'll tell you something: these campers. They don't just unfurl their bedrolls and start podcasting immediately.
Okay.
It's 2 full weeks before they get behind that mic.
Before you... Okay, well, that's... what on earth could people be doing for 2 weeks before getting on a mic for a podcasting camp?
Reading, learning, and being tested on the Pod Bible.
What is the Pod Bible?
The Pod Bible is the 1,400-page podcast textbook that I've written.
Oh.
What? No, it's great. It runs the gamut from, RSS feeds, fair use protocols, punchcasts, establishing brand essence, mic technique, which are the 10 comedians to interview, setting up and maintaining NVMe apparatus, that sort of stuff.
What, NVMe apparatus?
I wish you'd stop joking.
I'm not joking. I don't know what NVMe is.
All right. Well, NVMe is semiconductor technology that doesn't require a continuous power supply to retain the data or the program code that's stored in a computing device.
Okay. I mean, I'll take your word for it on that. Yeah. So you said that this camp, though, is like all ages are attending this camp?
Oh, yeah. Campers of all ages. But, most are in their mid-20s, but we do have a lot of under-8s.
Under 8 years old?
Yeah, we call them poddlers.
Oh, poddlers.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah. Some elderly ones also.
Sure. I don't know which I'd rather hear. I don't want to hear any. It doesn't matter what age people are at. No offense. It's a great medium. but there are just so many podcasts at this point that consist of people just going on and on with nothing to say and nothing planned out, and it's really a bummer, you know?
Well, I check this out. We do have some elderly podcasters,
mm-hmm.
And if you think what you've already heard is boring, wait till you hear a roundtable discussion on how long it takes for these people to walk to their mailbox and back.
A roundtable? Oh, that sounds so boring.
It is. It's mind-numbing. It's really insane.
I mean, I'm actually getting sleepy now.
Right?
Thinking about it.
It's very boring. Very boring. Yeah. But I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah?
Things are going to get very exciting tomorrow when the podcaster-in-chief comes to camp.
Well, what's that? Who is the podcaster-in-chief? Who is that?
President Trump.
Wait, he's coming to the pod camp?
Yes.
The president?
Yes, yes.
I don't believe.
Well, that. I'll tell you one thing. The president is a great, dedicated podcaster. He lives for it.
He has a podcast?
He does, and it's awesome.
I have never heard that he has a podcast.
It's very informative. It's very current.
But so, what is it about? Like, is it about like being a super wealthy guy and like him calling out different things like that are fake news or anything like that?
No, it's about the police.
Uh huh. Okay, so it's more of like about citizens in relation to law enforcement and I mean, cause I can see how that at least there's a lot to talk about there in terms of communities, getting along with the police.
No, I mean to ban the police.
Okay, please. Yeah. I, you have to tell me more about this then.
Well, he's been doing it for a long time and it's called On Any Other Day, which I didn't get for the longest time. Apparently, On Any Other Day is like the only song that the drummer, Stuart Copeland, sings on a police album. Super deep cut. I think it's on Regatta de Blanc. So it goes deep. And it basically covers all things in what President Trump calls the stingdom.
He calls it the stingdom.
Like a kingdom that Sting is in charge of.
Oh no, I was following it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't. That's not the part that I got flustered about.
Oh, okay.
The Sting. It's a bad play on words.
Hey, you can't say that. He's the president.
Well, it's a bad play. He would admit.
I feel like the walls have ears at this point, right? He's pretty insufferable about this thing, all right? Like, he's always talking about these bootlegs he has of, I'm trying to remember the name, Dantalian's Chariot. Did that ring any kind of bell?
No.
It's Andy Summers' either second or third band, like a weird prog band that President Trump is just so jazzed that he has these bootlegs from this band, and he just lords it over you, and he's really into being friends with this guy, Henry Padovani, who was the original guitar player before Andy Summers, so it's so weird. I mean, you think he's weird about like stuff that he's actually public about. Imagine this.
His private obsession.
Yes. And again, to be honest, he wouldn't be in anywhere near the trouble he's in if he devoted more time to his job as he does to this podcast.
So he's always working on the podcast?
Always, always. And the reason he got involved with the Russians in the first place is only because he loves that Sting song, Russians.
From the Dream of the Blue Turtles.
Yes, yeah. He became obsessed with Russia after that, and it's like Russia, Russia, Russia. It's all he cares about now.
From a Sting solo song.
Yeah. And He's so mad that he has to be in Washington right now to deal with all this stuff. He wants to be in Europe with Sting. Sting's on tour right now.
And he wants to be, what, following him around?
Yes, yeah.
Well, that's just, that's odd for anyone to want to do.
I know.
Like, literally any human.
It is, right.
Like, if you told me that there was an insurance salesman who wanted to follow Sting around Europe, I'd be like, that's strange.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the president.
Yeah. I've seen footage of him skanking across the stage during Message in a Bottle.
From when?
God, when was this show? It was a few months ago, I think. Sting was playing Meriwether Post Pavilion in Maryland.
And he was skanking.
He skanked across the stage.
That does not seem like something that would be easy for him. It just seems like he'd be very uncomfortable doing that.
I know, yeah. He had sunglasses on. Yeah, he had like a headband.
So no one knew who he was.
Yeah.
Because he had sunglasses on.
He had a hat that said "Make Sting Great Again."
So, it's.
And then he came back out. They were doing "So Lonely," and you know he was doing that. I feel so low. You know how the Police would like stretch a 4-minute song into a 15-minute song. He's still doing that.
Yeah.
I feel low. And then he has the crowd do it like 10 times.
I mean, do these guys like that know the audience is not worried that they didn't have a chance to participate in the show?
Right.
Like, that's not a concern. Like, what did you think of that Sting show? Well, I certainly loved it, but I do feel like there should have been a moment that we all got to participate with it. It's like, I think everybody would be like, if he said, hey, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to play two more songs
right
at their normal length instead of that call and response thing. He's like, I feel like we've done, I know you're out there at this point.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know how that is.
I'll tell you, though, I've heard people, I've seen Sting recently, and I've heard people grousing on the way out that they wish they could have said, B-O, 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 like 5 more times.
So there are people who want a call and response
thing. They want it.
Thing.
Yes, yeah. Oh, speaking of music and the Trump administration, mm-hmm. Have you seen this footage of Scaramucci fronting this Misfits tribute band?
No. I know what I know nothing.
It was on YouTube for like a day.
Uh huh.
And I guess you know they're so powerful they had it taken down.
He's the singer.
He's got like a dancing thing going. You can sort of see it at that first press conference, right? Where he basically said that he was married to Trump. He loves him. I don't know.
So he's up there fronting a. This is very.
Yeah.
I didn't...
Oh, and the band is called DCAD, which is like a tweak on Earth AD, which is the final Misfits record, which is not great, and it's very thrashy.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically do like the latter-day thrash Misfits, and he wears the mesh shirt, like it's a mesh sleeveless shirt.
Yeah.
He really sells it.
Okay, I guess, you know.
He does have a wolf's blood tattoo also.
If you can pull off a mesh, that's a commitment to say. I think you have to say I'm going to pull this mesh off.
Yeah, I think you announce it. Like you, even if you're not on stage, you announce that before the band comes out. Band would like you to know that one of the performers will be wearing a mesh T-shirt.
That's
fair enough, right?
To just let everybody wrap their head around it.
Exactly. So they're not just like, when they see it.
I just feel like mesh to me looks like you're just begging for some sort of rash.
What do you feel about half shirts? Remember those?
That feels very... When I think of those half shirts, I think of movies about...
people training for football.
Yes.
Like, not actual football players in the NFL.
Right.
Like that movie where Goldie Hawn was a football coach.
Right, yes.
Why was it Wildcats?
Are you thinking of, well, there's North Dallas 40.
It was not that.
Which was Dirty, right? And then there was also Semi-Tough, which was Dirty.
This
They're all dirty,
that.
I think, right?
I think these football players are dirty guys.
Yeah. But getting back to the half shirt, it's like it's like America's high school coaches said, you know that micro-thin layer of protection that would normally function, you know, like as a shirt, like from our kids wearing shirts? Let's take that away from them so they can actually get their skin lacerated during football practice.
And by all means, we'll have them running around, tackling.
Yes.
And hurting each other, but you're wearing half of a shirt now.
Yes,
not
yes.
even a full shirt to cover like some, just think of the lower back abrasions that must have happened when somebody just like their cleats went up and got somebody right across the lower back because they're not wearing a shirt.
And you know guys were like really like, have you heard of a purple nurple? Remember those? You know guys were giving each other purple nurples on their backs.
I don't know you could do that on a back, but that's... And then I don't know how if that's...
Well, I've given some.
Okay, well, I guess you're...
Well, on a back.
Uh-huh. Hey, can...
What?
Can I...
Sorry.
Can I, I want to hear a little bit more about this podcast camp.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like, what other things go on?
Very exciting. At the end of summer, we have the Podlympics.
Okay. What is the Podlympics?
Well, you know, just a couple things that happen. There's one event where you have to balance an egg on a spoon while seeing who can praise Baby Driver the most. That's one of them.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What else? There's a blue apron eating contest.
Okay.
What else? There's an event where you see how many stamps from stamps.com you can lick.
Okay. So it's
things
all,
like that, yeah.
It's all podcast based.
Yes.
Any other events?
Well, before it all starts, you know, there's the ceremonial unfurling of this giant banner. And it unfurls, and then everyone lines up, and they salute Adam Curry, who's on the banner, who, of course, is the Podfather.
He was an early podcaster from the MTV VJ, who...
Yes.
Hey, can I... My Twitter feed is going crazy, but it is not crazy in a good way.
Oh, you know what? That's probably because I've been doing a live stream pod of our conversation this whole time on my podcast, Podmark at Your Service.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you really can't do that. I mean, I'm doing this show here, and you called me, and I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't just tell your people to listen to the best show live on our stream.
Oh, well, because if I did that, I couldn't charge them $25 each to listen to my side of it.
So you charge them $25?
I do, yeah. And I'll tell you what, 3,000 times 25 means not only that Daddy makes his nut for the next 2 months, I'm totally making my nut, but it also means that he can pay off his new cherry red Hummer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You're going to love... On the back window, I got this sticker that says, You might have had to bleep some of that.
I bleeped everything after I.
Oh.
And I probably should have bleeped I, considering the things you said
maybe.
After it. Yeah. You know, you charge $25. They're listening to my show, and you can't charge them $25 to listen to the best show.
Oh, don't worry. I didn't call it the best show. I call this event Interview with the Monster. I'll tell you what. people can't believe how uninteresting you are. It's very sad. And they also can't believe that that's your voice. They're assuming you're using some sort of modulation. And also they can't believe that you exist.
Yeah, and that's what these tweets are all saying.
Yeah.
About how that I'm bleeping boring. Well, now my bank is hitting me. Hold on. I'm getting a bunch of texts with my... Yeah.
From where?
From my bank.
Oh, you know, that's probably because those 3,000 people gained access to your savings account, and they've been using that money to pay me for Interview with the Monster.
Oh,
so they're draining it.
So they're draining my bank. How did they get access to my bank account?
Tom, you know, some things are just unknowable.
But that's not an answer.
Well, hey, look, I have to go and prepare the podcaster-in-chief's cabin. You know, he's been snacking a little more than usual, and we need to reinforce that pole that he hangs on when he sleeps.
A pole that he hangs on?
Yeah.
When you say a pole, you mean like a vampire?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know why he just hung up. Oh, that's weird. Oh, so the end there, just a little factoid that the president might be a vampire. I didn't. Yeah. My, oh, my. My, oh, my. It's a weird world, huh, Mike? Strange days. Remember when John Lennon said, "Strange days indeed." Remember? Remember that? All right, who out there wants to try an Oreo cookie? All right. All right, well, let's bring. Who's coming in first? I want a random. Let's get Dudio in first. This is the order: Dudio, Pat, Mike, Kristen, then we go. All right.
Is this a blind test? Or are you going to show me what it is?
No, it's a blind test.
Blind test?
So look away. Reach your hand out. Don't look at the Oreo either.
Oh, I can't look at it?
No.
Okay, so I just put it in my mouth.
Yeah, okay. Just put it in your mouth. Thoughts?
Is there a mint?
No mint. No,
no mint.
No mint.
It tastes very close to the regular Oreo.
No mint. Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh. This is a regular Oreo. This is a different color cream. The cream's a different color. That's the dumbest thing I ever saw in my life.
I was just saying. It tastes a little mint, but it also tastes exactly like a regular Oreo.
Send in one of the other clods. Spring Oreo. The ripoff. Oh, well. Turn around. One of you is getting one from the floor. I'm telling you, first of all. Go over that mic and reach back. I'll hand it to you from behind. There you go. Don't look at it, though.
Okay.
Put it in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's not bad. Am I supposed to describe what it tastes
yeah,
like?
Yeah, what do you think that?
What kind do I think it is?
Yeah.
Can I take another bite?
Yeah, eat the whole thing. I don't care.
It tastes creamier than usual. So,
don't
doesn't taste like chocolate.
Don't lick your chops in the mic, people are saying on Twitter.
Okay. Are they really saying that?
No, I am. Well, I'm on Twitter.
Okay.
And people are saying it. A person, and it's me.
Oh, well then. I think it's a non-chocolate Oreo.
It isn't, it is a non-chocolate Oreo.
Mm-hmm.
The flavor, the icing, how would you, was that a good cookie
yeah.
experience?
It was a good cookie experience.
All right. Send.
It was scary, but.
Send Mike in here.
All right, Mike.
Don't look at these cookies, for the love of God. Look away. Don't look to the cookie. Turn around. Oh, look at this guy. Hand that. Don't peek. Right.
Already feels stale.
It already feels stale. Great. I can't do any. I can't do right by this guy. I tell you, feels stale. How does it feel stale?
It's got one of the like a vanilla.
Yeah, vanilla. Yeah, keep yeah. going.
It's not real strong. Vanilla lemon or something, maybe?
Yeah. Keep me again. All right, get out. All right. Kristen, you want to try one? All right. Dudio, come on back. This is where we're at. This is where the show's at. Oreo taste test, real quick. Running a couple flavors here.
Is there coffee in it?
Yes. It's a Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Mocha.
Oreo. Yeah, I have that. You have to bite slowly
mm-hmm.
for the taste to really present itself.
Get out of here. What are you, a sommelier for Oreo cookies? You have to bite slowly for the taste to reveal itself. One more. I want all you to come in for this next one. This is the one from the floor. This is the one that was on the floor. All right. Cover your eyes. I feel like I'm in church. Giving out.
Alright.
Take your time with it. Because somebody once told me that you have to let the taste of the Oreo reveal itself. Yeah.
Oh.
I think you gave me a regular one.
Trust me. I didn't put it in your mouth. Let it fireworks, sit there for a second. Okay. Yeah. Fireworks Oreo.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no.
No?
I don't like that one.
All right. Yeah.
He's covering his mouth.
Get these out of here.
Oh. All
right.
Don't look.
Close your eyes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll just put it in your mouth.
Oh,
it's gross, right, Mike?
Yeah, and the fireworks weren't particularly
pop.
Yeah, it's pop rocks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fireworks.
That's
here.
A big picky.
Here. Kristen likes it. Here, get these. That, that can go.
It's the one kind of cookie with a pop.
It was birthday cake was the one from before. Cake. Here's these spring Oreos that just have a different color icing. Just God knows why you'd make them.
Which one did I have?
You had the birthday cake, and then there's the Dunkin' Donuts mocha, and we didn't even try these. So. This is the only one I would like. Heads or tails, double stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to tell, though.
I was going to guess that mine was double stuffed. It felt like there was more icing.
Oh, really?
And I'm glad I got the vanilla-y one, because that's what I would have picked.
The mocha was kind of a shock. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. We've had that one before. We've had the two sides, vanilla and chocolate before.
We haven't had the mocha.
Now I'm on board.
Could we do this in a future show? What would you think if I came here, started the show, and then called the number, and then just left... And then talked on the phone for the rest of the show as I went to different places all around the area.
Yeah. Well, you can totally do that.
It's still popping in my mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, me too. I got that.
You had a real poppy one. I didn't really. Mine didn't pop.
Yeah, we would just lock your line, and then you could go wherever
Mike got a dud.
I got a dud, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll, I'm happy fireworks. I got a dud.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do that next week. Maybe I'll drive around next week.
Oh, no.
We'll figure it out. One of these upcoming weeks, I'm going to be the road show.
Yeah, cool.
Me and Mike, road show.
Thank
right?
you.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Of course. All right, get out, Mike. Look at these dumb Oreos. It's been $45 on Oreo cookies the last 2 weeks. Bad road. That's the bad road. Right there, in action. I wanted to throw up a couple weeks ago eating those Oreo cookies. Wanted to throw up red velvet, cinnamon bun. Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
Hi. This is Mike from Buffalo.
Mike from Buffalo. How are you tonight, Mike?
I am good. How about yourself, Tom?
I'm all right.
Okay. I wanted to call to tell you about a story about a terrible show that I played over the weekend that ended worse than it began.
A show that ended worse than it began?
Yes.
What is it? Tell me.
I played a show at a place that we have not had fantastic luck with, but nonetheless, we play time and time again. And halfway through the set, the sky opened and it started to downpour and fill the pavilion that we were in with water, so we had to fill everything, pack everything back up and put it up on chairs, and it finally opened up, and then we played again, and I don't know if you knew this, but bikers do not like Madonna, and that's all we play is 80s pop stuff. So we had not much of a crowd. All of our gear was soaked. We were wet, and we still had an hour and a half left to go. So as we finished, the band that was playing after us is fronted by one of these guys that plays in a band that does stuff similar to us but is way bigger and draws giant crowds, and we are very jealous of them. And as we were done, he came up to me and said, "You sounded great. I believe what you say is peace and love, peace and love." And as soon as he said that, I could only think of you, and I could only think of how I wanted to knock him out with my bass guitar.
Yeah, because you were wet. You're
yes.
wet. You just got angry looks and reaction from a crowd yep. who wanted nothing to do with you.
Correct.
These motorcycle guys, right?
Right.
They wanted nothing to do with you and your 80s pop.
Sure.
Name a couple songs that you guys do.
Oh, You Make My Dreams Come True by Hall & Oates.
It's a good song.
All Night Long by Lionel Richie.
Okay.
What's Love Got to Do with It?
Tina Turner.
Sure. Jay Giles Band.
Freeze frame.
was not freeze frame. That would be a good one.
You do centerfold.
We do centerfold, yes. You know, all of that stuff, basically Billboard top 100 from 80 to 89. That's what we try to do.
And the motorcycle gang that heard that did not like it.
No, the motorcycle gang started optimistic, and as our set progressed, they moved further and further back until they were one seat away from the parking lot where they would have gotten hit by cars. So it started out with not fantastic crowd to merely a horizon of people not watching us play.
Well, did you get paid? You got paid a ton of money, though, of course.
Oh, I would not say a ton of money. I would say our regular rate.
All right. So you made a little money.
We did make a little money, so I can't complain about that. But
it's a rough weekend.
It was a rough weekend, yes.
Well, you hang in there, bro.
I have one more for you. I'll make it very quick.
Let's hear it.
I am very happy to say that I have tickets for the show on October 21st. My buddy and I will be driving down from Buffalo. We are very excited, and I should also add that I may be happier to spend my 10th anniversary with my girlfriend, now wife, with you instead of with her, because that is the same date, and it didn't matter to me. I wanted to get tickets to see you guys. So she can be alone that day.
Boy, oh boy. All right. Priorities. We all have different priorities. Some of us choose some things and others choose others. I will say to you, I hope you make it up to her. And then some.
I will probably have to, yes.
Yeah, you should. Not have to. You should want to. I want to say that.
Go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
No, I was going to say I have until then to come up with something very good to overcompensate for the 10th anniversary.
This room smells like Oreo cookies now. Not in a good way.
Well, after the ones that you've eaten, I can understand that the amalgam of Oreo cookies would leave quite a bad scent. They're all mushed together.
Yeah. I had none of them. I ain't eating none no more. I ain't eating none.
That one sad day was enough for you, huh?
That was enough for me. You better figure something out to make your 10th anniversary with your wife special rather than, you should have seen the show and then Tom and then John did the thing. Come on. Tighten it up.
I will, Tom.
Now, you have a grand evening.
You.
Now, what is he talking about? Simple. I'll tell you. The best show, for those who don't know, there's the 20th anniversary of the first call of Rock, Rotten, Rule. And John Worster and I, Sharpling and Worster, doing a live show in Brooklyn to commemorate that. And we announced a show, and it sold out very quickly, and so we added a late show at a venue called Murmur, M-U-R-M-R-R. There's a late show. Tickets are still available, but they are selling quickly also, so do not dilly-dally. If you're interested in going, get your tickets. And Murmur, October 21st, late show still has tickets. Early show does not. That is sold out. Late show is going to sell out too. So don't snooze. Best show.
Hi.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Mac.
Mac, where are you calling from?
Is this a screener?
No, this is Tom.
Is it really?
Yes.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, Mac.
I was going to be a reggae man, but you caught me off guard.
Well, it's a good thing I caught you off guard.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Hey, let me turn this off again.
Yeah, why don't you do that? It makes for a better...
It's done. I'm sorry.
It's all right, Mac.
Hey, I'm calling for some dispensation, I guess, I don't know what it is, a dispensation. Years ago, I was really obnoxious to you, and you blocked me.
Okay.
And I can't remember even where you blocked me, maybe Twitter, who knows.
Yeah.
But I'm calling for dispensation. I'm calling to ask for forgiveness. I'm calling to ask for a second chance. I would like to be taken off your ban, and I would like to be at one again with you and John and all the rest of the gang.
Well, what is your name on social media, Sonny?
I don't know, Sonny. I don't know if I want to give that out over the air there, Sonny.
No, I don't know what to tell you. Then you might not get it. It's got to be a price. Got to be a price to pay for your bad behavior. What do you think? You don't think you should have to pay a price?
Well, what was my bad behavior?
You don't know?
You don't know?
Do I know? I don't know. I don't care.
You're all knowing. You're all knowing.
I blocked you. You probably said something dumb and something rude, and I blocked you, as is everyone's right.
I know. It's true. I wrote to Worcester once, and I was like, he blocked me, and he's like, well, welcome to the club.
No, he's not in that club. I didn't block him.
You block a lot of people?
No, only special breed of...
assholes.
See, sorry. Now you cursed on the best show. Is that really... Boy, oh boy, didn't you really... You're really redeeming yourself, aren't you?
I'm sorry. Are you under FCC guidelines? When you're on the web?
What's your name on Twitter?
Ay, ay, ay. Mayor Frank. And it might be McDonald Daniel. McDonald Daniel. Daniel's my last name. McDonald's my
first name. Frank. Mayor Frank?
Yeah, like Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Okay. Let me look this up.
Really? Is this going to happen? Tom, that would be really, really nice.
Oh, I didn't say it's happening. I'm just looking you up.
As is everyone else, and now suddenly I'm Russian. I don't. What happened? I have beautiful girlfriend and $1 million.
Oh, I can see why I blocked you. Your comedy routines. So it's just at. What is it at?
Well, I don't know what it would have been. Maybe at Mayor Frank, or try at McDonald Daniel. And I won't do the comedy routine. MacDonaldDaniel.
Yeah, these come up, and I don't see. It's just like Because
you blocked me.
Oh, is that why?
Maybe.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. And I don't want to waste your audience's time. You're great.
You're fascinating.
I love the show.
Look, buddy, I love you. I don't know why I blocked you. It must have been for a good reason. Doesn't matter. I'm quitting Twitter next week.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Why?
It's the end of my Twitter run. I decided. Next week.
Are you tired? I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of it. With all this stuff that's going on, my God.
90 seconds ago, you were begging me to unblock you.
Oh, no. I don't care about that. That was just my in. That was just my kind of...
Oh, so you're like a salesman. I gotcha. You play the thing.
I'm starting a conversation, Tom.
Yeah, so it doesn't even matter. So you were just saying anything you wanted then. Didn't matter what I said back as long as you got hooked me.
Oh, come on. She's the least.
I'm just following your lead.
No, you're not. You're the lead. You're the boss.
Yeah, I'm quitting.
I don't want to waste your time.
Look, I'm
quitting. There are plenty
Twitter.
Of other callers that probably have funnier stuff to say to you, but
no, there couldn't be. Look, you seem like a nice enough chap. I'm quitting Twitter next week, so it doesn't matter. This
it
is
really
the 7-day countdown. At the end of next week's show, I'm handing Dudio and Pat my password. And I'm having them change it, and they're shutting me out of it. They're shutting me out of my own Twitter. I'm turning it into a promotional account starting next week.
Oh, that's cool. And promotional for what, Tom?
Just to say, hey, well, this is what's going on the Best Show. Here's what's...
Yeah, but what's going on elsewhere, Mr. Sharpling? What else do you have to plug? Seriously, your work...
Get off my phone, that guy. I might quit Twitter tonight because of that guy. That guy's the worst. That's one of the worst. I'm going to quit this show. That guy might have driven me off the Best Show. Oh, there he is. Got him. You know what? I'm going to unblock this. I'm going to unblock him, and then I'm going to quit Twitter tonight. I am. I'm going to delete. What do I need to delete? I need to delete my DMs. I don't want these people, like Dudio, talking to God knows who. I don't know. Maybe think I could borrow $1,200, right? Eh? Last thing I need to do, Dudio writing to Abby Elliott borrowing money, right? Hey, it's me, Tom. I did block this dude. There he is. Someone sent it. I don't even know how to unblock him. I'm looking at this thing. I don't know. There it is. Yeah, he's unblocked. You're unblocked, stupid. But you know what? You have 1 hour to enjoy it because my Twitter ends tonight. I'm ending my run on Twitter tonight. What do you think about that? Will you guys do that for me? You just run it just like you run the Best Show account. Just to say what's going on. Oh, hey, who's on the Best Show tonight. That's it. Retweet from it. It's all I'm dumping this Twitter account tonight. I'm getting out of the Twitter biz. It's going to take a while to delete these DMs. But I'm doing it tonight. No more Twitter. Done. I'm reclaiming my life. Think about it. Really, what are you going to do on Twitter? Is this really what this thing has turned into? Twitter, the worst. It's just a place for everybody to just get mad. Now, used to be fun. Twitter used to be fun. It was a fun site. It was fun. You hang out there, you have a grand old time. Not anymore, man. How can I delete all these? There's got to be some way to mass delete all my DMs, right? Clear. Like that, they're gone. Well, the messages are gone. Let me see. I'm getting out. I'm done with Twitter. This could be it for me. What's to be gained from this garbage heap, right? I don't think I deleted them. There's a lot of DMs here. Last thing I need is Pat writing to Sal Vulcano. Asking him for Impractical Jokers tickets. Alright, I'm going to take care of that tonight. Then I'm out.
I'm groaning.
Best Show, hi.
Hi, Tom. How are you this evening?
I'm well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Steve in Philadelphia.
Steve in Philadelphia. What's up, Steve?
I was calling at first. I did a little search on Alta Vista, and I found this incredible website. I think you mentioned it, apmike.bandcamp.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I purchased a Masses t-shirt, and I had recently moved, and I sent it to the wrong address, my old address. And I was like, well, I ate $20. And then the gracious AP Mike actually sent me another one. And he's a mensch. You've got a beautiful man on your crew. So if you have to pick any of the three to fire...
Mm-hmm.
Don't make it Mike. Mike's actually watching out for people.
So you think I don't can
Mike? Don't pick Wolfit.
Yeah,
so you think I can't either Dudio or Pat?
You know, Dudio, he seems to know how to run. He seems to know how to do stuff. Mm-hmm. Pat's an idea guy, and I respect him for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, ideas don't pay the bills. Doing it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the other thing, get off Twitter, please, sir. Twitter's always been.
I'm doing it tonight.
Yeah, I know. Too many nights too late. I mean, it's always been a garbage hole. And I'm glad you recognize that. It's just a place for people to yell at each other and bother celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
It never made any sense to me.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm getting out. Hey, is my guest outside?
Ooh.
Check outside.
Your guest? I saw his special today. I started watching it, and then I was like, wait, I want to save this so I can share it with my girlfriend. Mr. Mandy is, oh, it's beautiful. I recommend it to everybody. I'm pre-recommending before the interview starts.
All right. Thank you for doing that. Right, you have a grand evening.
You too.
Best show. Hi.
Hey, Tom.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
It's Srikant from Cleveland.
From Cleveland?
Yes, Titletown.
I'm sorry? From Titletown. That's right. What, that guy, I think, is driving me off Twitter. I'm going to just do it. I think I'm just going to kill my Twitter account tonight.
Don't do it, Tom.
Why?
Because it's good for listener engagement,
I suppose. No, it's not.
Is that working for you?
I'm not going anywhere. I'm here every week. You know, if you want listener engagement, you call the show.
I'm glad I got on.
Yeah.
I was hoping for a best band from Cleveland question from Tom.
What were you hoping for?
A best band from Cleveland.
Why can't I understand you? A best and?
Best bands.
Best bands.
Home of?
Oh, I got you.
No,
all right.
You do that sometimes.
No, I'm with you. Well, it's the best band from Cleveland.
Paraboo,
yeah, of course.
Of course.
So, look, you're from Titletown. Really, you have one title, right?
Right.
What's going on? The team is falling apart right in front of your face.
It is. It's very painful to watch.
Yeah.
I guess we have Derek Rose and maybe one or two of his knees.
Boy, that's going to be fun. Boy, just wait. Yeah. He played for the Knicks last year. Boy, oh boy, get ready for that fun experience of having Derrick Rose on the team. Get ready for when he doesn't show up for a game. Like, there'll just be a game that he doesn't show up for.
Wait, that happened?
He did it last year. He went somewhere. He left. All right, click on messages in the top bar. I'm getting out of this Twitter game right now.
Don't quit, Tom. Don't quit. It's good for listener engagement.
Listener engagement? What am I, Dane Cook? Listener engagement? No. This show's the best. If you don't like it, you don't listen.
It is the best show. I got to tell you, though, I was trying to listen. So I normally listen on the podcast. I was trying to listen live today. The show is not Chromebook compatible. I got to tell you that. I hate to say it.
No, they're working on a bunch of stuff for it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Hey, is my guest here? Well, for the love of God, first of all, why don't one of you see if he wants a beverage, a snack? There's all sorts of things there. See what he wants. Is there pizza?
Huh?
Is there pizza?
There isn't pizza yet, because Pat said
What's Pat? Yet. I tell you, I figured out Pat's game with this pizza. You know what he does? Pat orders the pizza late. Wait, I didn't figure his game out. I don't know why he orders it late. It makes no sense. We're here for 3 hours, and Pat gets the pizza shows up in the final 40 minutes.
So I can take the rest home.
Thank you.
But I take it home.
That's true.
I take it home. I ate pizza driving home in the car. I was so sick last week. I think I'm not eating. I think food is killing me. I ate Oreos 2 weeks ago and thought I was going to die. Then a week ago, pizza was going to kill me. I think I'm just generally dying, and this stuff is not, it's ending now, right? This is it. This is the end.
Yeah.
You know, but as I end, what are you looking at? I can't handle. Oh, I'm. And this is it. I will never.
Yeah.
I'll end up having to do some lowly new Twitter account, like New Tom, like at New Tom. I'll be like, oh, I'm up to 130 followers. Yeah. Like I'll be like, oh boy, it's not so much fun to build this from literally zero again.
Based Tom.
That's a good challenge, though.
But it's a waste of time.
Build it back up again.
What is Twitter good for? I'm sorry. 8 years ago, you go on there, you goof around, you actually made actual friends in life. You're actually like, oh, hey, I was talking to that guy who wrote the comic book, and I'm friends with him in real life. We were talking on the phone the other day, and we met up. Now, all you do is get screamed at by people who hate you, and then it's like the only, it's like literally... It is the way for the president to talk to America. It is now this awful thing. It is like, he just like, he yells at people on, it's like, it's only like for everyone yells at everybody, including the president, yells at people on this thing. I'm out. You're getting the password in 51 minutes, you're getting my login info, and then you're going to change the password.
Change the password.
Change the description.
Control.
You're going to change the description and say...
This account now run by Dudio and Pat.
It's no longer going to say, writer, I was right. Down for the count, but F that S, I'm back and ready to even the score. That is going to get deleted.
Yeah. It will be. It will then read...
It will
now
read...
Now run by @SonicDork.
Promotional account now... You have to run by @SonicDork. Yeah. Make sure you get your name.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you'll get your moment of glory.
I still enjoy Twitter.
Oh, I know you do. I see you. No, you do. You love it. It's all
like, too much. It's an addiction.
If you love it, it's fine. You're into it.
Yeah.
It is an addiction.
It is.
But I'm breaking it. You watch me break it right now. Break it. Could you break it, Joe Mandy?
No, I'm sucked in.
You love it.
Yeah.
First,
it's part of my DNA at this point.
You know what I say to you, Joe Mandy? First of all, thank you for coming.
I'm so happy to be here in Jersey City.
You're having an exciting day today.
I know. It started at Good Day New York.
I saw that. It was you and who? Rosanna Scotto?
Hell yeah. And Greg Kelly.
So what is that? Because you're promoting. You have a new special. I'm telling you, first of all, this Netflix special. It's called Joe Mandy's award-winning special.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Thank you.
It's so great. Forces everybody to have to look in the mirror. Every one of these comedians who's doing these, they're sleepwalking through these specials, and now they got to look in the mirror and just go, wait, who am I? Yeah. That's my special was what I, and just like, and now they're just like, wait, that can be a special?
Yeah.
Now they have to just rethink the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not just going out and having a thing and a joke, and then you cut to an audience member, and then you cut back to the stage.
And then it's over.
And that swooping... I always love that.
Oh,
I always love the swooping crane.
That fake-ass crane shot.
Just zooming over the crowd.
Yeah.
Well, I thought this was just going to be a person on stage talking, but this camera is so lively.
Did you see that zoom?
Is this the Matrix? Am I watching The Matrix now?
Is this bullet time?
Yes, or a stand-up. It's so funny. You're so funny. You're
Thanks,
one of my
man.
Favorite.
Thank you.
You're one of my favorite people.
Thank you.
Everybody loves you. And I'm looking at Twitter now, I'm looking at, no, please don't leave us. But that's it. One person. No one cares.
Yeah, no, yeah. You can jump off. It's fine. Yeah,
no one cares.
It's over. Twitter's done.
It really is done.
Yeah, it sucks.
Every one of these things has a run, and then it goes away.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't think the folks at CompuServe were just like, we were there once before, you should have seen.
Yeah, you think, especially if like if CompuServe was just like, oh, we're overrun by Nazis. Maybe we should stop. Like, yeah. Wait, our most valued customers are Nazis?
Yeah. But they're not even like customers. It's this thing. It's like, at least CompuServe, yeah, someone wrote a check with this thing. This dump, you know what it is?
It's a dump. It is a dump. Yeah.
It's a dump. It's a open mic. I'll do it in stuff you can understand. Yeah, it's an open mic.
I only understand.
It's an open mic where they get all these like famous people to show up.
Yeah.
And perform. No one gets paid.
No one gets paid, and the audience is just Nazis.
That are all, in the audience. Yeah, so it's everyone, every comedian.
You're just performing for Nazis.
Every celebrity and comedian are on stage performing to an audience full of
Nazis. I'm like completely desensitized to like my face photoshopped in like Holocaust ovens. It's just like, it's like, who has the time to do that?
And people send that to you?
Yeah.
Well, that's not fun.
No, it's not fun, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm so used to it that, like, yeah. How crazy is that? That, like, got, I get that, and I'm like, eh, whatever.
You got, this
that's
is
fucking hack.
Yeah, well, this is, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. I want to look and see a nice tree and be like, oh, I like trees, and I like... Because you see what it's like. You have these dogs that you put pictures of.
Yeah.
Right? You look at a picture of you look at your dog. Not a picture of your dog. You just look at your dog.
I look at my dogs.
And you're just like, why am I looking at Twitter
yeah.
for this thing?
Yeah.
I got to worry about something on there. My actual dog is being actually funny.
Yeah, my dogs crack me up.
In a thing where, unlike... And they're not pressing. Like, your dogs don't press to get laughs.
It's all natural.
They don't do bits. Yeah. You're never just like, look, I love you.
My dog,
would you stop doing bits?
My dogs don't even know what a GIF is.
Yeah, your dogs don't know what a GIF is. Maybe I should sell off my account, though. I have 100,000 followers.
Yeah, that's smart.
Maybe I should just sell it off, like, to some sort of, like... Who would buy it at this point? Blue Apron? Right? Blue Apron.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike. See if Blue Apron... Tweet at Blue Apron. Ask if they want to buy my account. I don't know. That'll be my final tweet. Now, this is my final tweet right now. This is my final tweet. This account is for sale. Please contact... I'm going to give my email, bestshow4life@yahoo.com, for pricing information.
Yeah, to the highest bidder.
Thank you. There we go. My final tweet.
That feels good, right?
That felt great. So, JoeMandy.
Yeah.
.com, I'm right?
Yeah, I think so.
@JoeMandy.
Yeah.
The guy with a million Twitter followers. The guy who, when everyone was skulking around trying to, like, juice their numbers, you took your act right to the other side of the globe.
Yeah, I went to the dark web.
And you were just buying followers.
Yeah, from some dude in Moldova. I paid a guy in Moldova, like, $500. I have a million followers.
And whenever there's those, are there ever like purges of them every once in a while?
There was for a while, but that has ceased. And
they don't care anymore.
They don't care anymore because they like sold. Like I found out it was just I happened to be buying bots at the worst possible time because it was like right before their IPO or whatever. So they were like actually cracking down on it.
But
so
now.
Now nothing matters. We live in an era where nothing matters, especially like Twitter followers. Yeah,
Twitter right now is like, it's like in like a movie. It's like the rundown high school that no one is like where the it's like Stand By Me. It's like the first 5 minutes of Stand By Me, where like Joe Clark walks down the hall and he sees just a kid like making out with another student, and he sees another kid. Smoking a doobie in the hallway. Yeah. He's just like, this is supposed to be a school.
Right.
What happened to this place?
This was supposed to be like a social media site.
Yeah. It's... So you, young man.
Yeah.
You're in Los Angeles, Lipstick City, mm-hmm. where it all goes down. You got your fancy comedy friends, your Gabe yeah. Delahays. And
oh,
the,
my God, yeah.
And the Max Silvestris and the...
It's the Blue Ribbon crew.
Who else? I like those guys. But who yeah. else is in the crew? Who else is in... Who's in your running crew? When it's like time to just... Just hit the town. We're
hit
just
the
like,
town.
We're going to Cantor's.
We're going to Cantor's. I will call up a Nick Kroll, a John okay. Mulaney. Okay. You know, if Jenny Slate is in town, she's in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, recently, Kate Berlant, John Early,
mm-hmm.
Claudia Doherty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very funny. And you know who's here, though? Meanwhile, no one. Everyone moved away.
I know. We all moved within the same, like, 20-month period.
It's like, I am legend here now.
It really is.
Mutants.
I did a show last
Weird
night.
Fringe
I was like,
mutant.
I don't know any of these
yeah.
people.
No, it's all oddballs now.
Yeah.
It's like just strange people roaming the New York City where yeah. it's just like.
Everyone's a vampire.
Yeah. Like you got weirdos. Like I'm weird. You got Chris Gethard,
total got, vampire. That dude.
Just like, it's just, yeah, it's just lunatics are left now.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's all right, but you gotta go on because you like to hike. And,
yeah, I go on hikes. I live near Elysian Park.
Okay.
I go on that hike.
Uh huh.
That's a famous hike.
Okay, that's a famous hike.
It's near Dodger Stadium.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're, like, way on that side of town?
Yeah.
It's Marin country.
Not that, no, but, like, I live near, like, I heard, I was listening to Fleetwood Mac the other night from my house.
Because they were doing that super
doing
jam.
Doing Dodger Stadium, yeah. Super Jam, yeah.
So you opened your window.
Yeah, hung out heard. On my little deck, listened to Fleetwood Mac. It was
this
great.
It's like a parody of Los Angeles.
Yeah. I was drinking kombucha. Yeah,
you were drinking kombucha. You open your window and Fleetwood Mac is playing at
Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. Where it's yeah. like...
I had my my indica yeah. blend. Vape.
Okay.
I
yeah.
was
so
vaping.
You're vaping. You're vaping with your kombucha.
Yeah.
Fleetwood Mac wafting
yeah.
through the air.
It was kombucha flavored vape juice.
with the lights... Coming off of Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
But you're from Minnesota.
Right.
That's where you're from.
Yeah.
So you went from Minnesota to D.C. something? Because you went to a good school.
I went to, no, I did not. I went to Emerson College in
Boston.
That's a good
school. I consider that a good school.
Okay.
Well, like,
it's,
well, I'll ask you
it's
this.
Fine.
Did
it's
you,
fine.
Did you drive to it every day?
Did I drive to school?
Yeah.
I took the Green Line.
No, but was there, okay, were there living arrangements available at the school that the school knew about?
I think so. I transferred, so I always lived off campus.
Okay,
yeah.
But there would be like a dorm.
Yeah, there was a
there.
Dorm,
yes.
Yeah.
Because the school I went to.
It's called the Little Building.
Okay, so yeah, you were, that, I consider your school a good school.
Okay.
My school was the kind of school you go to where it's like. It closes at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Like, where they're just like, all right, everyone out.
Yeah.
What do you mean, everyone
that,
out?
It's like a commuter
school's
right?
closed.
Commuter
yeah.
school?
Yeah.
I've performed at a couple of those places. Me and John Mulaney performed at University of Indiana Kokomo.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to get there by 3 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Because,
yeah.
because they were like, everyone will leave. If it's a night show, no
sure.
one's here. So
not
we
coming
to,
back.
We performed, like, we just interrupted people at lunch.
Yeah.
It was awful. That's maybe the worst show I've ever done.
Well, because they're not going to go home and then go back
no.
to school
no,
four
right.
hours later
right.
for the comedy
like,
show.
If you want people to pay attention to you, you got to interrupt their lunch.
Yeah. No, yeah. I was at a school and it would have, you'd be in the student center. And there'd be a pizza place, and then they would just run out of pizza at a point. They'd be just like, we're not making any more pizza.
Right, we're
going to throw this pizza out. I'm not making a whole other
You have
pot.
A car, go get a pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, there's a pizzeria over there.
Yeah.
It's New Jersey.
Yeah.
You can't find more pizza here. This is a pizza-based economy. this state is run on pretty much pizza.
Right.
So
our governor is made out of pizza.
Oh, that guy. Oh, he makes me so... Oh,
I'm sorry, that was triggering.
That's all right. No, no, you know what it is? It just, like, just bums me out. He just...
Yeah.
Like, that's the represent... Like, that's the face of the
yeah.
state. Is that guy who, with his, like... He looks like a bedraggled commuter all the time. Always looks like he's just like, oh, the train was a New Jersey Transit was so slow. And he coming off with his
yeah,
like suit all wrinkled and his tie half undone.
He looks like every dude who gets on the Metro North that has like four like flavored beers in a black plastic bag, like a
Bud Lime.
Yeah, like tomato, like a yeah,
Mike. You ever have Bud, the flavored Bud? You didn't like it, huh?
Limerita?
Mike likes Coors. Mike's a classic drinker. Really? Yeah, people on this Twitter, which I will not have access to soon. Yeah, they're saying that you're really repping L.A. You're making it sound magical.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, get that vape juice going.
Mike, you ever vape? Like, just like tobacco? No. You ever get anybody at the bar bring in a vape thing? An e-cigar. That's
wait,
the worst
wait,
thing I've ever heard.
I have
heard.
Never heard of that.
Are you sure it was an e-cigar? You sure the guy just wasn't calling it that? An e-cigar. That just sounds...
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That just sounds like somebody was smoking like a remote control. Like a guy just like set his remote control on fire and was smoking
it. It was like an old flip phone. It's an e-cigar.
Yeah, it's my e-cigar. Don't worry. It's water vapor. It's like, no, that's a phone is on fire. That's worse than tobacco. You're breathing in electronic fumes.
People vape soup. I don't, I bet New Jersey has it too, but people in California vape so hard. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite thing when you're at a red light yeah. and you look to your right and the dude just is filling his Camry with vape.
You
can't even see what's going on in his car because it's so thick.
There are guys where you will just see just the wave of like this plume of smoke just pouring. And I guess it's like they think that it's like a skill and it's like, no, that thing does that.
Yeah.
It's like...
I know you say that, but there is a guy I follow on Instagram named King Titus, I think his
name
is.
He's like an artist.
He's like an artist with the vape.
Where he does the rings.
He does rings and he does... I mean, it's mostly rings. Like,
there's always someone who turns a thing into just like, he's the best. It's like there's the best guy who there's the best like person who bags groceries also. It doesn't mean
it's
like
anything.
Art.
But King Titus went to Moscow recently, and he was, like, vaping with all these, like clearly, like, the sons of, like, oligarchs. And they were all like, oh, like, in Russian, just like, oh! And he was just having, like, the time of his life. And I was like, yeah, you know, good for King Titus. He's living it up.
Well, he's taking his act on the road.
Yeah.
You know, though, the thing they always say is that just there's some kid in a garage somewhere.
Getting,
vaping away, doing rings.
Like watching your videos,
watching
trying
your
to
videos.
Best you at your vape game.
Yeah, there's some kid who right now just figured out a way to just like do like a rectangle, like a vape rectangle. And King Titus is like goofing off,
he's,
and he's just
yeah,
like,
he's
I'm not vaping today.
Right.
Like, hey, it's like his manager is just kind of like, hey, have you,
Titus,
you know, you might want to, you got to get that big show coming up.
Right.
You're going to start. You start vaping.
And you start practicing right angles.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't feel like vaping today. Just he's like, is that just a cigarette you're smoking? Like, you got to get your game going.
Yeah.
And then there's just some 16-year-old. It's like Rocky III when like Clubber Lang shows up and suddenly it's just like the new level of vaping.
Like,
I honestly can't wait for whoever is next in the vape game. I'm so in.
To where King Titus suddenly is like yesterday's new. You want him to feel like if it was basketball, like him to be just like George Mikan.
Yeah. Your ancient history.
The idea that
I want the vape Bill Russell to enter the game.
Just a guy who took the vape game to a thing, and he's just like, hey, hate the vapor. Yeah. Don't hate the vape. Don't hate the vape. Hate the vapor. Yeah. And just like, he's just sitting there watching this kid do this thing, and suddenly he's just like, he just fakes an injury or something. he just goes out to do the thing, and he's just like, my arm! I can't.
My thumb, I can't hit the button.
I can't move my thumb. Help. I can't do it. Show's over. Everyone out. Ah. So, Joe.
Yeah.
Mandy, the special. So funny.
Thank you.
You have surprise guests in it.
Surprise guests.
But they can't be that much of a surprise, right?
Like, well, yeah. It's all within reason. I mean, there is an NBA All-Star. I will say that.
Yes. Hey. Five-time NBA All-Star,
yeah, believe
right?
So,
five?
Yeah.
Yes.
Who plays... He's so funny.
It's
not fair.
No, it really isn't. And I guess we can all say it's Derek Coleman.
Yeah.
That'd be so great.
It's Wally Szczerbiak.
Wally Szczerbiak is an announcer for the Knicks. Like, he's not an announcer. He does, like... When they go back to the studio,
halftime.
Like for post game,
yeah, right,
stuff.
right.
And then,
did he play on the Knicks?
No,
that's amazing.
He's white.
That's amazing.
The only reason he's there is because he's from Long Island,
good for him.
Is a white guy.
Good for him. Good, yeah.
No, not good for him. It's like he's just one of these guys where just like, let him just take the thing. He's a white guy.
Yeah,
just give him the gig.
He's got so many consonants in his last name. No. Just give it to him.
But it's like he never. You realize that there are like 15 guys a year who play for this team, and it's been around forever.
Yeah.
There's got to be one of those guys who maybe we can put at the desk there who can say, well, when I played for the Knicks,
right.
He can't. What's he going to say? When I played for the Timberwolves.
All right.
Look, and I'm not putting the Timberwolves down, but let him go sit at your desk.
Right, yeah.
With the thing. Let him
he could be a commentator for the Timberwolves.
But he's there, and it's like, how did I end up here? What was I talking about? I was talking about All-Stars. Yes.
Yeah, this was my fault. I mentioned
No, Szczerbiak. That's Wally Szczerbiak.
One-time All-Star.
Was he a one-time All-Star?
Yeah.
It's Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin, yeah.
Yeah, who is so funny.
He's so funny. It's crazy. It's annoying.
Like, he legitimately... just knows how to act.
Yeah.
And knows where every...
And I've done stand-up with him, too, mm-hmm. and he's, like, a good stand-up comic, which is, like, so annoying as a comic, because mm-hmm. you're, like, you're good. Like,
yeah.
You've done this 12 times, and you're good. It's not like I could go, like, play in Greece, you know, play basketball
exactly.
in Greece.
It's just like, look, I'm not expecting to be in the NBA.
Yeah.
There is the D-League.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll play for Fort Wayne,
Indiana. Yeah, I'll play for the Rio Grande Vipers.
No, he's like, there are those people like that where they are like, they're just like better than
everyone. Yeah, he's good at everything.
Yeah, and then it's just, it really isn't fair. I wish I was good at one thing.
I know, I feel the same way.
Well, you were supposed to say I'm good at that.
You're good at this.
No, I'm kidding. No, it's like
no.
That was fishing.
You're good at how are those Oreos?
I'm good at buying Oreos.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm not even that good at it. I bought this one that was like the icing is just a different color. I thought it was it's like green or something. What color was that icing? Neon green.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's not anything.
Like 2 weeks ago, I went and got these Oreos. I was so sick. I was just because I was thinking about it all day. And I bought like red velvet,
mm-hmm.
which was disgusting.
Sure.
Cinnamon bun, which was next level disgusting.
Yeah, like, that sounds awful.
I mean, I would have been better off just buying some chemicals and just drinking some chemicals.
Like drinking Drano.
Yeah, and maybe, yeah, and pouring sugar on top of Drano and seeing what that's like. Then there was peanut butter, which was like sludge. Because the thing is, I talked about it, peanut butter is not hard. It's not some rare commodity.
No.
It's the cheapest substance going.
It's everywhere.
So for them to be like, hey, we got this peanut butter Oreo, but it's like, is there peanut butter? I'm like, no.
No, there's no peanuts
or peanut butter. And then the worst one is this fireworks one.
I saw that. That has Pop Rocks in it?
Yeah. Well, I think they don't call them. I think they call them just like...
like carbonated.
Yeah, exactly. Carbonated...
pebbles.
Yeah, exactly. Carbonated fun candy pebbles. And I ate like five of them and I was like ill for a day.
That's
bad. Really, it's like, oh, the poison. I can't handle it anymore.
I really liked Oreos when they came out. I like any food that pretends like it was a mistake.
Sure, like
Oops All Berries, big fan of that.
That's the Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
Which you realize why they don't keep. Because you're a kid, you're just like, you like crunch berries. You're just like, it's like 30 of these stupid yellow ones for one crunch berry.
Yeah.
Well, and then they finally.
I want these yellow things.
Yeah. Then they put this box of these things out, and you're like, this is gross. This is way. It's like if you just ate. It's like you poured milk on cotton candy in the morning. Like,
it's nuts.
I'm going to take this cotton candy and put it in a bowl and then put sugar on top of it and then put milk on it. And that's. It's like, no. They knew what they were doing when they policed the distribution ratio for the
Were you allowed to eat sugar cereal as a kid?
Yeah,
you were. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah, I
Cocoa Pebbles. I'll go to my grave defending. I think that's my favorite. I think that's the best cereal of all time. Is Cocoa Pebbles?
You sound like Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, I prefer the pebbles.
Mm-hmm.
I like the texture.
Oh, yeah. And I think
I like the mouthfeel. I'll get really foody about it.
Yeah. Get foody about this just this trash.
Sludge.
That is coming from the same spigot that is just going through a... They're just shaping slightly
different.
It's
the same, yeah.
It's like... And it puts it into ones that are more a little more rounded and ones that are a little more pebble shaped.
Yeah, I like the pebbles.
Let me see who's on. Who's good here, Mike? Four. Mike is saying four is good. Best show.
Hey, Tom, it's Connor.
Oh, my.
New York.
Oh, my goodness. This is Connor. This is the comedian. Connor.
O'Malley.
Yeah. Connor O'Malley. No, I knew who it was. Of course I knew who it was.
You got to stay on Twitter.
Why?
So you can contact Verizon and T-Mobile, United Airlines.
Yeah, he does make a point. Like, how are you going to contact these
conglomerates?
That is a fair
point. When suddenly I'm like, I'm suddenly like, come on, at United.
That's the thing, though. Like, you're not a real comedian if you can't complain to airlines about your, like, how you got moved.
I think I might take my chance, though. You know what I'm going to do, Connor?
Yes.
If I have a problem, I'm just going to look them right in the face and say, I got a problem.
Or you could email me, and I'll tweet at them for you.
So this is going to go, or I got these, the guys here are going to be running the account. But they'll, by the time I have a problem, they will have run my account into the ground so badly. It will hold no. It will just be like, I'll be like, hey, guys, can you just tell United that they keep putting me, like, I can't get on this flight. I'm supposed to be on the flight. And then they'll tweet it out from the thing, and then I'll be at the airport, and then United will throw me out of the building because it's coming from this account that is just poison. Now, do you
make... You gotta record, like, voice memos and
send them to Dudio and have him post it on Twitter. So it's more of a direct line when you want to talk to a corporation.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds like a direct line.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to miss out on Fred from Honolulu if I leave Twitter.
He's almost done creating a race war. You're going to miss out on that.
So there could very well be a race war going on that I will not be aware of.
Yeah, Fred's going to post periscopes of him walking around Chelsea with a hammer, smashing people in the foot.
I love Fred. Fred from Honolulu.
Wait, I'm going to follow Fred.
Oh, he's the best. He's the best. He just
he's going to be so excited. Oh, I got a new follower from the best show. Oh, man, I can't stand white people, but it's awesome. I got a new follower.
Connor, you're so funny, Connor O'Malley.
That's nice of you.
You've been funny in so many different ways, in so many different places. Where's the next time people can see you be funny?
I'm going back to community college. I'm done.
Oh, okay. Well, I can give you a few tips with it if you need some help with community college. Are you planning
on... You went to a commuter college, you went to community college.
I went to a community college. I went to Middlesex Community College. It was the alumni. It's pretty prestigious. It's me, Jim Norton, someone who was in the Olympics and someone who was accused of trying to set a bomb off in New York City. Wait, what is going on there? What are you in the middle of?
My dog, Fuzz. I just took him for a walk.
Your dog's name is Fuzz?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good dog name. What kind of dog is Fuzz?
He's like 15 pounds. He's like white, which Fred's not going to like. He's, he's like a Maltese Terrier poodle mutt from Georgia.
Okay. Joe's got two pit bulls.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like see your dogs on. I don't see your dogs on internet.
Yeah, I put my dogs on the internet.
Yeah, I've got a pit bull too. I have a pit bull too. Well, Connor, you should come here. Come here and hang out in a couple weeks. Why don't you do that?
I just put Connor on a list of things I find funny.
Connor's so funny. Yeah, you're so funny.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Both of you guys are so funny. It's so nice coming from you.
Oh, this is disgusting now. Now it's like a, what are we writing, book jackets for each other? Blurbs?
I don't have Netflix, so I can't watch your special.
No, it's hard to get, so I understand.
Look, he's weighing his options.
Yeah, no. Yeah, wait it out.
It's a competitive marketplace.
I waited, and I got... CISO.
You're a CISO guy. I was going to say, you seem like a CISO guy. Yeah.
Well, it's technically, it wasn't CISO, it was C50 because there were 50 people subscribed to it. It was C50.
Yeah, God.
That's an exclusive club, though. You're in the 50.
You were in the 50.
I'm in the elite club, yeah.
You get to say, I'm one of the 50. And
do you remember Burly Bear?
Yeah, what is that?
That was like proto CISO. It was like I remember just like looking. Someone once told me about it, and I did like a bunch of reading about it. And it was like, when you like read about like, oh, they actually invented like submarines like 200 years before they did, and it's like this insane. It's like that, but with CISO, where it was only in college cable networks. And it was like they had original programming and Broadway Video owned it.
Oh, yeah. It was only at colleges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems fun. Like a fun way to just to like feel like your career is even more futile than it is than most people generally feel about a career.
Yeah, someone who has like a TV show that's like only on the CNN you get in the airport.
Connor,
Tom,
why don't you come by in August?
Sounds good.
Come by with Fred.
I'll be around.
Come by with Fred.
You're boo-hooing about how there's no one in New York. There's a bunch of people in New York.
No, but it's all weirdos, though, and I'm one of them. I'm not saying they're weird, but it feels like there's like the sense of community is just like a bunch of goofballs are the only ones left, right? You know what I mean?
I don't know. Goofballs.
Yeah, goofballs.
Yeah.
All the pros went to L.A. They all went to L.A.
You got the young, hot up-and-comers coming up, and they're all on Twitter. You're getting off Twitter. You're not going to be able to see all their new, woke-ass stuff.
Look, I know these people. I can see them when they do their things best. Twitter's not the best forum for anyone.
Yeah.
No one's good on Twitter anymore.
Unless you're...
It really is. I was...
You're
I was
a Nazi. Unless you're a Nazi, it's a...
you're kind of in the sweet spot right now. No.
Yeah.
Connor, I'm out. Tonight's my last... I tweeted my last tweet, which I will read one more time. It might be my best tweet to date. This account is for sale. Please contact.
What's your website that on the bio?
The website on the bio is thebestshow.net.
You got to change that to something tonight if you're going offline.
Burlybear.com.
I still want people to listen to the show. It's going to just be a promo account unless I get a decent sale.
How about you do it? You do Blue Apron. What do they call it when they put furniture in a house that's for sale.
Yeah, it's called Blue Aproning.
I'll sell it to Blue Apron. I'll sell it to Fresh Direct. I'll sell it to 5-3 Clothing.
Stamps.com.
I'll sell it to Stamps.com. Whoever wants Adam and Eve.
Pro Flowers.
Adam and Eve would be good.
DraftKings would be great. If suddenly my account was just like, Week 3, Falcons, Vikings, +7.
Blake Bortles.
Injury Bortles. Report. My Twitter account just one day is suddenly like, injury report, Clayton Kershaw out for 6 to 8 weeks. Sore right elbow. Must put him on your IR immediately.
Check out the Falcons cheerleader.
Yeah, for a little fun time.
A little fun.
Yeah, for the halftime. Here's the Twitter halftime show. I feel like I'm doing one of your voices, Connor.
Weird guy.
See? You said it.
You stole my weird guy character. Now I'm going to come over and assault you.
The weird guy character. Yeah. I remember when there was no one doing a character that was a weird guy in comedy. And then Connor went into the lab and then came out.
What if this character was a little odd?
Weird guy surrounded by normal guys.
Yeah.
And one normal one.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I think that is called Mad TV.
Oh, man.
Right?
You got to go back and delve back into some of that. Some of that stuff is.
Here's the ultimate Mad TV sketch that they never did. Interior. Bake sale. Person at bake sale. Boy, I hope this bake sale goes well. We can make a lot of money for the school. Auditorium doors fly open. Weird character walks in. Weird character does weird stuff with everyone's table for 7 minutes. Fade to black.
I did this bit where it was all the Mad TV characters, and they're all aliens, and they're all on a planet, and they're trying to pitch TV shows to get back to Earth.
Uh-huh.
It's like the coffee guy, but they all end up just pitching Mad TV. You really had to be there.
No, I am there right now, and it's funny, because you're funny. I love you, Connor O'Malley.
I love you, too. Everyone's funny. Everyone does comedy now.
Yeah, it's the new thing.
Not me anymore. I'm out. I'm giving up my Twitter account. I'm not on Facebook.
You say, Kofifi Small Hands. You tweet that, you're in comedy. The Orange Man's got small hands.
Kofifi. Yeah, dude, that's so true.
It's great. It's awesome. It's made comedy better. I love it. I love
that's
going
the
online.
Thing. It's like Trump has made comedy is better now.
And anyone can be a comedian.
Everybody's a comedian. It's over. It's over, guys. I'm moving to drama. I'm going to become a dramatist. I'm out. It's all
yours. Why don't you become the Joker? Why don't you hold on to it and become the Joker of Twitter?
I already... there was a point a few years ago I did call myself the Clown Prince of Twitter. It didn't take... So I stopped doing it.
I rewatched Dark Knight recently, and it is so bad.
Yeah. It's like 4.5 hours.
It just
hours
is
long.
Like, it's 4.5 hours, and it's like if Robert De Niro, like, dressed like a clown during Heat. Like, it's like exactly like Heat, but there's two characters who are dressed like a bat and one who's a clown.
Yeah, and then there's a point when the movie, you're just like, oh, okay, it's winding down. You're like, no, there's 50 more minutes to go in this movie.
We've got to explore this moral quandary on a boat.
Yeah.
The
two ferries.
Yeah, two ferries.
The criminals.
Dunkirk was the same thing. It was just like a moral quandary on a boat for like half an hour.
This guy loves boats.
This guy likes boats and time.
Yeah. Right, Christopher Nolan. More like... See, I'm not in comedy, so I can't make a joke with it anymore.
He's also got a real good, and by good I mean bad, like, director's costume.
Like he would.
Like all those guys, like, wear, like he's got, like, oh, I feel like he's always got, like, an overcoat. Every picture I've seen of him, he's got this, like, bad, like, everyone who's a director now has to, like, wear a suit or, like, some sort of, he can't wear a t-shirt.
Does he wear a hat? All directors wear hats.
The Ron Howard Backdraft baseball cap.
Yeah, Spielberg hat.
The only part, you know who has the whole thing figured out? Lee Daniels. Do you know how he dresses when he's on set?
No.
He wears pajamas.
Does he really?
Yeah. All the time.
That's great.
Like, you look, there are pictures, like, if you just search Lee Daniels, I'm going to do it right now, Lee Daniels, and the letter P, and then the letter A, and then pajamas comes up. And this is him. Where is he? Here's him directing The Butler, for example. Like, he's talking to who?
Okay,
he's talking to.
Yeah, pinstripe pajamas.
Yeah. That's the greatest thing ever. Just like, yeah, I like to be comfortable. I'm comfortable when I wear pajamas.
I wear a diaper.
You wear a diaper when
you
do
a big diaper.
But it's like it's like shorts. The diaper goes to your knees.
Right, they're big diapers.
So yeah, it's like not like those old 80s diapers that like a John Stockton diaper.
No. I wear like Allen Iverson diapers.
You're like the Fab.
It's cool.
Five diapers.
Yeah.
I don't know these kids with the baggy diapers. All right, Connor. I'm going to talk to you
all
soon,
right,
buddy.
No, right, you guys are going.
Thanks. Yeah, the baggy diapers. What was that?
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Yeah, I know. So, you, Joe Mandy, you're a fan of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Who are going to be so good now.
I'm so excited.
Karl Anthony Towns is so great. What's his face is great.
Jimmy Butler
is great. The other guy.
Andrew Wiggins.
How did they keep him and make trades? I don't know how they pulled that off.
I don't know how we've done it. I'm so happy.
Jeff Teague.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Yeah.
He's so solid.
I'm really excited. I've been so sad for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I generally root for the Knicks.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It hasn't been good.
No.
And it's not going to get better in 100 years.
No.
100 years
bad.
From now, it will
it's
not be good.
It's a bad situation. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
the owner of the team is in a band.
Yeah, JD and the Straight Shot.
But it's like a put on. It's like a parody of what the worst owner could be.
Do you know, my theory is that he runs the Knicks poorly just so he has something to sing the blues about.
I guess that, yeah, he should have, like, bad draft blues.
Yeah, because he's a billionaire. He has nothing else. Yeah. There's nothing sad in his life except for how he runs his basketball team.
Did you hear the guy yell at him?
It was amazing.
At the show, there's a guy just like, you can't sing.
I paid money for this. You suck at singing.
Just imagine the owner. There's a guy who owns the Knicks, who owns Madison Square Garden, his family.
Didn't he make himself the opening band for...
The Eagles.
The Eagles?
Yeah. Of all the bands out there, just think of who would... He's like looking at the thing, he's just like, who should open for the Eagles? Me. Fine, I'll do it.
Fine, I'll do it.
No one wants to open for the Eagles. I guess I'll do it.
Guess me and the Straight Shot.
Yeah. Let me see if the Straight Shot's around. Straight Shot. And just imagine the eye rolling that goes on in the Straight Shot when he's like doing one of his songs and they're just like, hey, the check clears. And JD's just like, put a little more stank on that thing. Like, they have to hear this guy, and then his phone rings, and he's like yelling about like the he's yelling at the president of Budweiser.
Right.
No, no, no. We're talking about sign placement, blah, blah. Like,
he's like, how hard is it to get yacht polish?
And it's like, the guy from our blues band is screaming about the 5-year reconstruction of Madison Square Garden, how this, there can't be less seats in the loge. Yeah. Him screaming. And then he sang a song about, then he wants to sing songs about the blues.
It's bad. It's a bad situation. So bad.
Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, this is Jack in Miami.
Jack in Miami. You're here with me and Joe Mandy.
Hi.
I'm sorry, Tom. I'm really nervous.
That's all right. You relax, Jack.
I had called up with something for the topic, but I think there's probably not time.
There's time. There's time. You don't worry about that. You want to talk about going down a bad road?
Yeah, a really bad road.
Like, what is that? What happened, Jack?
Well, just real quickly, I have a small web design company. I do web marketing, a lot of other things like that. I hate it, but I'm just trying to survive with it. So here in Miami, there's a lot of like corruption and con artists and things like that. So one day I was contacted by like this really high-end company, like a big, you know, kind of luxurious company. I won't say who, but they said that they had some things that people had written about them on the internet that were bad reviews and things like that, and they wanted me to make those search results go away so that people wouldn't find them on Google.
Sure.
So it sounded kind of fishy, so I kept ignoring them, but they were really insistent. They kept calling and calling, so after months of ignoring them, I decided to meet with them. And their office was just in a really, really warehousey area, like muddy, surrounded by strip clubs, just a real dump.
Sure.
And after every meeting, they would pat me on the back with like these big, thick hands and say, you know, hey, Jack, you're in with us for the long haul.
No. Oh, yeah. And you're like, yeah, I didn't want to be in for the long haul. This was a short haul maneuver for me.
That's not really your call.
Yeah.
Right. It was very odd. I mean, from the first meeting, they were saying that, and there were several. They were just like caricatures of criminals, like just cartoonish, like Little Steven on The Sopranos.
And then what happened?
So they'd always make these jokes like, we're going to make you an offer you can't refuse and things like that.
Oh,
but
no.
Eventually, everyone kept encouraging me, like, hey, you should work with them. It could be a good opportunity, even if they're part of a certain organization. So the websites that they wanted me to make disappear and the search results turned out to be like FBI.gov, things like that, that had bad things about them.
So. Yeah, yeah, this is like The Firm. All of a sudden, yeah. Like, I think you're in The Firm.
You're in like a terrible John Grisham movie.
You made a huge miscalculation by saying yes.
You're in The Flamingo Brief.
Exactly. But everyone had encouraged me to keep going with this. My girlfriend, even my therapist, my therapist actually advised me to go ahead. Because it could be a great opportunity.
Is she in the mob as well?
Yeah. I think it seems like they got to your therapist already, just like, look, you tell this kid.
Look, it sounds like you're in the long haul here.
You tell this kid that this is the right thing to do. And then your therapist is just like, whatever, just let my brother go. Whatever, I'll say whatever you want. Just let him. It's like right before your session. So what's going on? What are you doing with it?
Well, I had to stop working for them because they just stopped paying me one day. But they still, honestly, they still call me and email me and just say, basically, hey, Jack, we want to meet with you. Yeah, can you come in tomorrow?
They didn't pay you. That's the worst. Yeah. Like, isn't that supposed to be the one thing you don't worry about with them? It's just like, look,
exactly.
It's totally sleazy. We're doing bad stuff here. You're going to get a lot of money, but you're doing best. But you also got stiffed.
Yeah. Actually, I had to, then they started having me pay for things. It's unbelievable. They, like, I had to pay for their advertising, and they were supposed to reimburse me.
Wait,
of course,
what?
They just stopped.
Are you sure?
Day.
This is the most low, I think. Yeah. I don't, I, there seems
Wait,
to
you
be.
You said that they were, like, a big company.
They presented themselves that way, and. Without saying what they are, it's hard to explain, but basically they kind of are a big company, but maybe not as big as they portray.
Florida.
So, yeah, but they do have a lot of money, but they just decided to...
it's Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I think this is...
Yeah, they still want to meet with me all the time, and I just...
No, just stay away. You got you went down a bad road. That is a bad road you went down. And now you're in some sort of thing. It's like the Goodfellas when it's like, come on in, come on, pick a pick a coat out for your mother. Come on,
exactly.
Come in here, like just waving you in the room.
I'm scared I'm scared of talking to anyone in Florida for this exact reason.
That
I'm going to get caught up in some kind of Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, you're just going to be over here. It's just like, I just thought I was going to do comedy.
I thought
at
I was
thing.
Buying a coffee, and now I'm paying for some guy's advertisements online. I don't
know. Well, look, buddy, I'm glad you're out, and I'm glad you're out. You take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Best show. Hi. Hello. You're there. I know you're there. I can hear you. You're there.
Yes. Right. I'm on a delay.
Well.
Espera. Espera.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
Hold on one second, my man. I'll tell you. I'm in the Carolinas.
Okay. In the Carolinas. Which Carolina?
Which Carolinas? That's a great question.
Well, no, it's not actually a great. It's a very
basic.
Super easy.
Very basic question. Hello, Tom.
Not the kind of question you had to vamp before giving me an ending, an answer. The Carolinas, the Carolinas. Well. Loop-de-doop-doop. That is a good question. It's north or south?
How does one answer this?
Yeah.
Tom, are you there?
Just where? Where are you?
I'm in the Pines of Carolina.
Of which Carolina?
Why does it matter to you?
Because I asked you a very simple question.
Two different states.
So we're going to define things geographically by boundaries that were transcribed.
Oh, you suck.
Oh, my God.
You are the worst. It took you 2 minutes to talk. There's a delay. You had a fake southern accent at first. that faded. You're clearly...
Let me tell you why. You ready?
Oh, I'm ready. Yeah.
That had to have been the worst moments of my life, listening to the last 20 minutes of your show.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you must have a great life then.
I listened. I drove a good distance today and caught up on many years of your show.
Yeah.
Today I was highly disappointed listening on hold for 42 minutes and 47 seconds, and now I'm here. And I'm struggling
making
to
in a Carolina.
You're here in a Carolina.
In one of the Carolinas.
Really
can't divulge.
And really just riding the ship now in terms of bad entertainment. You really showed everyone how it's done. I hope everybody out there has a notebook out and they're just taking down notes based on this whiz in terms of how to be funny and entertaining.
They're ready. They're ready for this.
Do you know you're terrible though, right? You know you're terrible. I go into
every interaction that I have with every creature, every being on Earth, knowing that I'm awful.
Okay, good, cool. That's fair.
The creatures of Carolina.
Do you have
everywhere
of the Carolina? Do you have Netflix?
Netflix. Do I have Netflix? Does that make me
There's no value judgment on this, you dunce.
Why is that a relevant question? Do I have Netflix? What is that?
Because I'm going to tell you about something next, you dolt.
Okay. All right.
I have Netflix? Do I have Netflix? Why is that a thing? Oh, I hate you.
You love me.
No, I don't. I really hate you. I truly hate
me. Otherwise, you wouldn't entertain. No. Otherwise, you wouldn't entertain this existence of a cicada.
No, I'm pretty much just letting you showcase what a douche you are to everyone. Actually, I'm not doing it because I love you. It's a chance. It's a chance for you to just show off your doucheiness now for the world.
It's my opportunity.
Yeah, your opportunity.
Sure. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Word, yeah.
What I was going to say...
Douche.
If you had Netflix, I was going to recommend something to you.
Okay.
There's a
I'm listening. I you have my ears, good host.
This is what I... This I know. Is, isn't it's this, unbelievable. This is the worst... thing you've ever heard, right?
I can't.
Think of the 10 worst things you've ever heard.
Yeah.
Help, someone, help.
Yeah.
Right? Help me. I'm drowning. Like,
fire.
Look out. Oh, no.
You need it. You needed rescuing tonight. I'll tell you what. You needed a rescue like nobody's...
Hey, dummy. The worst minute of the show, and first of all, it was nowhere near tonight, by the way. The worst minute of this show is better than your best minute.
I've had some good minutes.
No, you haven't. I can just tell. I know guys like you. You already
where
email.
You met, where that? You met me? Where you met me? Where you been?
Oh people hate you. You are.
Oh
you are. Isn't this? See, this is what podcasts don't have.
You're right. Yeah.
Podcast don't have a guy. Where you met me? Where you met me? Where you been? Where you been?
LA boy. Smoke some more greenery, LA boy.
Oh, my God.
Yes, you impressed everyone.
He did get you there. I think he's got your number, actually, Joe.
I got burned.
Yeah, you got burned by...
good old Carolina burn.
By...
We do. That's how we do it.
That's how we do it in Carolina.
Yeah.
Dos.
You know what I'm going to do for you, my friend?
You're Spanish.
I'm going to give you 60 seconds of uninterrupted airtime to show everyone what you're all about.
Okay? All right. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
I'm going to count down. I'm going to count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When you...
he got so excited. Oh, yeah.
He was so excited. That was
No.
That was so... You know, I've listened to this show forever. I've never seen that in real life. That was beautiful. The best.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
That was beautiful.
Let's take a couple calls, then we'll wrap it up here. Besho.
Hello.
No. Oh. What's up?
Hello?
To whom am I speaking? Hi.
My name is Ben in Seattle.
Ben in Seattle. What's up, Ben?
I had one for the topic, the bad roads.
Yeah, let's hear it. You're here with Joe Mandy, who's special. Joe Mandy's award-winning stand-up special is on Netflix now. Do you have Netflix? Are you going to turn that into a thing? If I ask you if you have Netflix, Ben, are you going to beat me over the head with such a benign question?
Get a weird classist thing.
Do I have Netflix? Do I have Netflix? What? Why would you ask me a thing like that? Do I have Netflix? Well, 3 out of every 5 people have it. I'm assuming. I'm just asking if you're one of the 3.
I am, and I'm a huge fan of Joe Mandy. He's very funny.
Thank you.
I also unfollowed him on Twitter recently.
Okay.
Because he's pretty ridiculous on Twitter.
Yeah,
and I would encourage everyone to just get off it, because I think he's proved that Twitter's garbage over the last 2 years or so.
That's kind of my thesis, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a bad place, and I'm out. This is my Independence Day. Remember the movie Independence Day? That's a fun movie.
I do. ID4.
I only saw the second one.
You only saw the second. You should check the original out. It's a little better than the. I already see it's the same phone number. The guy calling back again. No, it's not happening anymore. So Ben, what was your story?
So after college, I went to Japan to teach English for a year, and I was pretty bored and lonely there, and I got really into buying weird Frank Zappa albums, like in strange recordings there.
Okay.
Just like really into Frank Zappa.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I went down a very bad road, and I think about... I was just playing Zappa and listening to Zappa and really into it. And then about 5 years afterwards, I think I just realized that it was making me really depressed.
Uh-huh.
And I just went down a bad road. That was about 15 years ago. So that was a bad road. So
yeah, those Frank Zappa records.
Cautionary tale.
Blah, blah, blee, blah, 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 right? Blah, blah,
yeah.
Bleep. Blah, 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 diarrhea, blah, blah, blah. Like, every song, like... like, he's like, this guy's like, I'm a classical musician, but I write songs about diarrhea.
Yeah. Oh,
what a great combination that is. Right? Remember when Mozart wrote that song about a clogged toilet? Well, Ben, are you out of the darkness now?
Yeah, a long time ago. I wanted to just tell you, because I thought you'd think it funny, like one thing I used to tell my friends was that back then I was like, you know, if Mozart was alive today, he'd be like Zappa. Oh. Yeah.
There you go.
And I just cringe. It makes me cringe when I think about that.
You're safe. You're out now.
I'm out.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Watch Joe's special, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Watch it twice.
I will.
All right, bye. Best show, hi.
Hello.
Hello, hi.
Hi, this is Jordan.
Jordan, where are you calling from?
Well, I'm currently in a car on my way from Brooklyn to Chicago. So I'm in, I think I just passed into Ohio.
Okay, well, what's in Chicago that you're going to?
I'm going to drop off some musical equipment at my parents to store it there until I can eventually take it to Los Angeles.
Okay. Are you moving to Los Angeles?
Yeah, well, I've been living there for 6 months, and then I kept some of my gear stored in New York.
What's your band? What band are you in?
Well, I have a band called Ex-Poets that just released our first song. I tour with some different people, an artist named Albert Hammond Jr., primarily the past couple years.
From the Strokes.
Yeah, from the Strokes. I play with this band called Exhibition and do other random stuff. I play bass.
Okay. Can you play
the
Seinfeld
theme? Yeah, I wanted
to call
in about the topic.
Can you play the Seinfeld theme?
I did get challenged by a friend of mine once to learn that, and I took me excruciatingly long, and then after working out for like 3 hours in the middle of the night, I realized it was a keyboard the next day.
Ah, they got you.
So I can kind of half play it.
You know who that is playing that, right?
What's that?
That is Seinfeld playing that.
It's Kelsey Grammer.
I don't believe it's Seinfeld.
Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer played the Seinfeld theme? No one knows
he
that.
He played. So he just was doing everyone's themes at that point?
Yeah, it was he.
Hey, baby, I hear the wind.
He was in the Rembrandts.
He was in the yeah, the Rembrandts. I think I saw King Crimson a couple weeks ago, and I think one of the guys in the band was in the Rembrandts now. It's a weird world. It is so weird. Well, look, young man, what's your story? What do you want to say?
Well, I heard that I was listening on my phone while I was driving, and I heard something about a long, wrong road. Is that the topic? So,
something like that.
When I was packing up, leaving from Brooklyn, went through Manhattan, which I think was our first mistake, and get into New Jersey. It's me and my dad driving, and we're leaving at like 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, you know, when you get into Jersey City after the Holland Tunnel, you make a wrong turn, it could be kind of disastrous. And he's on Apple Maps, and I'm on Google Maps, just to make sure we can, like, cross-reference. And they both start glitching out, and we're trying to figure out where to go. And I see a sign that says Bayonne, Newark. And I never knew if Bayonne was a fictional place or a real place. Because, I mean, I'm a fan of the show, but I don't, like, look stuff up online. And I thought maybe it was a joke. And so I don't know if Bayonne is right next to Newark or if the signs just go towards the same way, but I exited that way. Then it's telling me to turn down this other road.
Mm-hmm.
And so I turn down this other road, and I end up on this just kind of decrepit, abandoned side street going
in
circles.
Yeah, you were in Bayonne.
Yeah. So you told the truth about it on the air when you joke on it. It wasn't just
a mean trick on your friend. We didn't make it up. It's a nice place. It's a nice place. It's got nice people. It's salt of the earth.
If it really is nice, then I don't think I was there.
Look, someone's got to steal things in the world, right? There can't be good without bad. That's why we have Bayonne, right? Criminals got to live somewhere, right? You want
good
criminals?
Against the people.
It's a good thing that the criminals have homes there. Then, because they're not looking to get into yours. They'll just get into yours and take your stuff, but then they'll bring it back to theirs. They're not looking to live in your place.
Hey, as long as someone's getting good use out of it.
Yeah, look. Thank you, buddy. You drive safely, buddy.
All right.
Final call. Final call, Mike. No more calls. Best Show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Dave.
Dave,
from Knoxville.
Dave from Knoxville. Wow, classic.
Yeah.
Classic caller. Classic.
I tend to get in a little late.
You're here with Joe Mandy, national comedian.
Hey,
Joe Mandy.
Big fan. How's it going?
Right.
Incredible.
National comedian.
I've seen notice of your Netflix special. I can't wait to see it.
I'm telling you, wait till you see this thing. It is so funny. It's so funny, and I'm going to say this: he goes there.
Oh.
He goes there. And I was watching, and I was just like, there's no way he goes there. And then I'm like, oh, he's going there.
He did it.
And then I was like, he went there. That's really funny, Dave. You're going to laugh.
I'll watch it tomorrow.
All right.
No pressure.
I'll call back tomorrow night and comment. Will you guys take calls tomorrow night?
I will not be here tomorrow night, no. It's a show takes place once a week. I know you listened for years. I thought maybe that would be something you would have made note of at
some
point.
You can call our friend in the Carolina.
Yeah, look for him. What do you mean, Netflix? You know Netflix? What do you want me to know? So, Dave, what's going on in Knoxville? tonight?
Well, I wanted to run a quick idea by you.
No, I'm ready.
You know, because I'm so full of ego and I pitch my thing all the time, I'm doing this voice index for the best show.
That's right. Where you are, you are logging so much.
Every voice that appears on the show, I'm trying to log the time in the show they first appeared.
For the entirety of the show?
Yes.
Which is bonkers.
That's right. So there's, there's about 3,000 entries so far.
Yeah.
And I am actually a little bit behind, which is part of my problem.
Yeah, don't worry.
You get older, and things just get busier, and you kind of slow down.
And it's also an enormous undertaking.
Yes, it's big. So, you know, if anyone wants to hear every call from, let's say, Kat from Raleigh, they can go to this site, and they can get the dates and times that she first appears.
What if someone wants to hear the first time AP Mike was on the show? Where would that be?
The first time he was on the new show?
And the very first time I spoke to him, when would that be?
I don't go back past the new show.
Oh, okay. So this is with the new show. Yeah, well.
Right. If I ever catch up, I might start working my way back.
Should I have brought Mike back with the new show? Was that a mistake? I probably should have left him in the past, right? You think?
Mike is crucial to the show.
Oh, great. He'll love that.
So anyway, I need to get this. I need to speed this up, right?
All right.
And there's a parallel track. As I get older, you know, you get a little, I don't know if you've met anybody like this, but I'm a little more out of shape than I should be. I really should get some weight off and get my stamina up.
Okay.
For general purposes.
Sure.
So I thought, well, how could I make these two things dovetail?
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a treadmill.
Mm.
And so I'm trying an hour a night to walk on the treadmill while logging an hour's worth of the show.
That sounds good. Now, that's a good way for you to get healthy. Yeah. You know what I would recommend? Treadmill?
Mm-hmm.
Set it on the fastest speed because you've got to make up for time you didn't do it, right?
Yeah.
Just go on the absolute fastest, and the incline should be the highest. You're pretty much walking you're walking up a wall. It's like, and do that for an hour straight.
Right.
And listen to the show on 2X speed.
Yeah, listen to the show fast. Speed the show up.
Oh, I can't do that.
No.
You have to savor the show.
Exactly. It's like a fine wine or an Oreo cookie. You need to
put Pop Rocks in it.
Before you got here, they were eating Oreos, and then one of them, they're interchangeable at this point. I can't tell them apart. One of them was just like, you really have to go slow with the Oreo and let the flavor really reveal itself. It's like, get out of here.
Yeah. No, it's one bite.
Yeah, one bite. Thank you. You get it.
Yeah.
Although Joe's been nursing one Oreo for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
So here's my idea, Tom.
What is it? Trying
to put those two things together.
Uh-huh.
I thought, what if I could be to the best show what Jared is the sub to Subway?
Or other people who got healthy. There's other people who've gotten healthy out there.
It's probably a bad analogy.
Yeah. He uses a reference one. You might be a little behind in the headlines, Dave, I'm going to say.
Going back through the newspapers, too.
You might want to catch up on Jared before you start
charity work.
Perhaps I could be him.
Yeah, he did a lot of charity work. Yep.
Yeah. I think I saw him in Jack and Jill with Adam Sandler. And then, wait, what did he do? What? Oh, no. I really should have figured out what this dude was up to before I started.
That's the guy who's still reacting to Jack and Jill.
Yeah. Still, have you seen Jack and Jill?
Oh, yeah. Saw it in the theater opening night.
Wow.
Al Pacino, though, in Jack and Jill.
Oh, he goes for it so hard.
It's so great.
It's one of his best performances.
It really is. I swear.
That Dunkin' Donuts commercial, I'm like, what are you doing, man?
You cannot believe. And it's kind of like a lesson of, it's like a showbiz lesson in a way where Al Pacino walked onto the set of The Godfather Part 2 and was like, so what am I doing here today? And then 40 years later, he walked out of the set of Jack and Jill, was like, so what am I doing here today? And he just went at them both at the same level.
So I'm playing myself. I'm singing a song about the Dunkachino, which is a Al Pacino-themed coffee drink at Dunkin' Donuts.
He works so hard in that movie. It is...
it's unbelievable.
It is a... it is like a testament to a lifetime in show business. The idea where he's just like, there's no low, there's no high, there's no low.
Yeah, there's...
it's a set. A set is a set.
Nothing matters.
They wanted me here. I'm going to give them... everything they
goes
they
for
paid
it
for.
So hard. It's one of the best. It's a top five Al Pacino performance.
Yeah. The idea that if you were putting the list together, you would have to take, like, I think I'm going to have to take Dog Day Afternoon off
this
list. Yeah,
no, because he's not trying as hard as he is in Jack and Jill.
Yeah. Mike, have you ever seen it? Yeah, go once you get to it. Yeah, this guy. Yeah. What you right? Yeah, at the top of your list. Get the Criterion edition. Criterion Blu-ray, $50.
I did just get Billy Madison on Blu-ray.
Oh, I would watch. I just watched last night. Happy Gilmore was on cable, and I sat there watching. And I was like, and I said to myself, this might be a top 10 favorite movie in my life. Like, this is... this has got to be top 10.
Billy Madison is it's up. It's like two of my three favorite movies are Michael Clayton and Billy Madison.
Because I think if people can take Billy Madison or Happy Gilmore, that's like a personal choice.
Right, totally.
It's like it's going to be one or the other.
Yes.
And there's no judgment on whichever one you choose.
Because you get it. Either way, you get it.
Yeah.
My wife thinks Mr. Deeds is the best one. I was like, get out. You don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Deeds.
There was a point I was watching it, and my wife was just like, so wait, I don't remember this movie again. He's a hockey guy because he's got the giant stick out
on the thing.
And then he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to just go for the win now. And then... after the giant structure falls
on the green,
and then and what's his face, Christopher McDonald, all time great performances. It's like, oh no, you play where it lays.
Yeah.
I had to hit it off Frankenstein's fat foot. You play where it lays, and then he hits it. And it's the dumbest thing you've ever seen.
The dumbest putt-putt. Like,
the dumbest Rube Goldberg thing. And then she was just like, this is stupid. And I'm like, yeah, it is pretty stupid. And I think I felt myself close to crying. Like, I could actually get emotional with how much I love that movie.
I watched Billy Madison recently, and my wife was like, I'm not watching this. And so how we came to this... compromise where the sound was off, and I was still laughing because I know the movie so well that I didn't need to hear this.
No, you don't need it. Oh, I'm going to do a show, and I'm probably going to do the first one in a couple weeks. It's going to be a special side show. We're going to review. We're going to go movie by movie through Adam Sandler's movies.
Love it.
And album by album through Lou Reed's albums. We'll do one Lou Reed album, one Adam Sandler movie in each episode. Critical analysis of both. I think they have just about the same of each to where it'll track. But it's like...
well, Sandler should have six more movies by then, right?
But I'm saying this with Adam Sandler. Look, some of these movies are terrible. Some of them are abysmal. But, hey... I don't have a movie so many people that I love don't have a movie I love that much.
Totally.
As much as I love Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then you also think it's like, yeah, well, Punch Drunk Love is like this masterpiece that he acts in. And you're like, well, there's two movies. And then you put Billy Madison, like you put that in. It's like, so there's three masterpieces right there. It's like, that's pretty high.
Yeah.
Three masterpieces kind of beats most everyone else who ever did anything ever.
Yeah.
And then there's other ones that are really... Look, some of them are so bad, but...
I like the part in Blended where they didn't even specify where in Africa they went. Yeah. So the guy, when they walk into the hotel, goes, "Welcome to Africa."
just
be welcome like, to we
don't want to get to because the movies start getting written to based around vacation
right
ideas. Well, Dave, I'm glad you're getting healthy, Dave. This is great. I'm glad you're taking care of yourself. It's time.
Pleasure talking to Mr. Mandy and Tom. You know how I feel about you.
You tell your son I said hi, and you have a great night. And
enjoy that treadmill.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the Joe Mandy special on Netflix.
And you know what, Dave? The other thing, you don't have to get it all back at once. It's about consistency. Don't try to be a hero and suddenly go 10 miles because you're feeling weird. You're feeling like some weird spike of positivity, and now you're going to overwork yourself.
That's how I had the first heart attack.
You do it right.
No worries.
Yeah, do it right. Take your time.
Yeah.
There's not a competition. So.
Right.
All right, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You have a great night.
Thank you.
Good night.
All right. Now, Joe, Mandy, the special is so funny. I mean, I loved it so much, and I'm going to watch it again.
Okay, great.
And it's called Joe Mandy's award-winning stand-up special.
Yeah.
And it's... I think it really is going to make people say, I blew it. When they look at their dumb special, they're just going to say, Mandy ate my lunch.
Yeah, well, that's why I won an award, you know?
Yeah. It didn't get called that for... you can't just call something that.
That's true. You can't just name something. You can't just say something's award-winning if it's not true.
Exactly. Just like you can't say something's the best show, for example, unless it's true.
No, it has to be the best.
So, my friends, we'll be back next week. What's going on? Anybody? You guys have anything to plug? What? Mike, I can't hear you. Come here. He's got Oreos in his mouth. I can't understand this guy.
Could use some more cartoonists for the calendar.
Oh, that's right. Mike is working on his 2018 calendar, and he needs cartoonists. So if you're a cartoonist, go to Twitter and drop him a line there. And Pat and Dudio? What's that? No, come here, please. Pat has his show, Prove It All Night, the Prove It Show podcast. I'm giving it to you right now.
Yeah, I got nothing, too. Nothing.
Okay. What will you have going on?
I got nothing. This is a pretty... No shows.
Well, you know what you can plug?
What's that?
You have control of my Twitter account.
Oh, yeah.
The underlined letters are capital. That is it. Change the password. Shut me out. I'm serious. Shut me. Okay. Do not tell me what the new password is.
All right.
I have finished my... I had a pretty good run on Twitter. Was it 8-9 years I was on?
That's pretty good.
It ends tonight.
Okay.
All right. It's all yours.
I'm changing it right now.
Don't be stupid with it, though.
No, not at all.
I'm serious. No. I don't want to see something...
Only
first
show
of all,
related.
Just show related. I don't want to see something you're going to start doing something about just like...
Don't say anything that Blue Apron wouldn't say.
Right. Yeah, don't say anything Blue Apron
totally
wouldn't say.
Blue Apron the whole time.
And now, I go to my Twitter, and I close it. There we go. Joe, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
It was so
happy
much fun to have
here.
You here.
Yeah.
I'm going to play something to end the show. Simon Doom, He's a friend of the show, and he's got a record out called Baby Man, and we're going to play the lead hit single on his album, Baby Man, by Simon Doom. I Feel Unloved. Best show back next week. Bye, Twitter.